must have forgot. When they spoke of my gold medal and soul career, let's look back at my whole career, cause y'all must have forgot. The best pound for pound is mine. Hit Percy Harris with four hooks at one time. Y'all must have forgot. When I beat Bernard Hopkins and won the IBF, the right was hurt, beat him with the left. Y'all must have forgot.
Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I am TKO and I got my main man K Bad.
What's up, y'all?
My man Boss. What's up, Bob?
What's up, y'all?
Not much. All right, just to let you guys know, next week we're kind of going similarly back to our regular time, so it'll be a little later, and you know, just in the interest of everybody having different schedules or whatever, shows might not be as long. We'll see how it goes, play it by ear, but you know, we'll get to that next week. We're gonna try to stay with this reading the emails and getting the feedback earlier, so if you guys can send your comments, your tanks and everything else in as early as possible during the week and on Wednesday, we'd appreciate it. So with that, KB, let's get to the listener feedback and tanks of the week.
Right. I wanted to mention this message real quick. Heem D sent us this message on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, when you send stuff on Patreon, it might get kind of overlooked because you normally just get the emails or whatever, but I did want to say something about this. So he sent a message saying, "Peace again. I know the Who Gets to Create Black Culture article was long, so I mean, it'd be a lot to talk about on the show. I want to know your thoughts on the OZ Media scam. Have you heard of OZ Media before? I saw ads in D.C. this summer for Carlos Watson's show and OZ Media and wondered what the hell it was. It's incredible that it seems so easy to scam on the scale that these people had, but not surprising that black elites are willing to do stuff like this. Here's an article on what it was like to work for them, and here's another article on the difficulties for people to get black media firms started because of scams like Watson and others. I'd like your thoughts either today or next 6 months. Cheers, Heem D." Yeah, I've read a couple articles about it. I mean, the ones that you sent, and just some things that I just, you know, read over, like, say, late, really like the last 2 months. I didn't know who Carlos Watson was. Apparently, he was a newscaster. I don't know where. I think his bio said he was like one of the major cable outlets. But when I started seeing all this Carlos Watson stuff, I'm like, who is this dude? And apparently he had started this, you know, media company, and he was overinflating like the, you know, value of it and his reach and the viewership and all this stuff. Like, one of his partners was like impersonating, I think, like a executive, I think, at YouTube or something like this. Like, it was a lot of crazy shit going on with that. And yeah, a lot of people that he got to work for him were just pretty much fed up with just like his business practices and all that type of shit. So, yeah, I completely understand how. And I know him and Roland Martin kind of got it. So I think Roland reported on what was going on with his company. And I think Carlos Watson called him out on like the Breakfast Clubs. He did an interview on there a couple weeks ago trying to explain what was going on with his media venture. And he kind of called out Roland, saying, like, Roland kind of threw him under the bus, and why would he do that? And Roland was like, man, I'm just reporting on the news. You know, I'm reporting on what I'm reading in these newspapers, pretty much saying you've been scamming people with this media company. And, yeah, don't get mad at me that, you know, you got former employees calling you out and, you know, all the stuff that's going on with your media company. But, yeah, really unfortunate, man. You've seen a resurgence in, you know, black people starting, you know, their media companies, and you know, Roland's doing really good with Black Star Media, and you're starting to see just a lot more people trying to do their own thing instead of going like their normal media route. And then you see something like this, like, it's just unfortunate, man. So,
and I think that's the Firestarter answer machine in the back right now. I saw the interview on the Breakfast Club because I had no prior information on this before that joint kind of popped up on my feed. Nice. Had it going on while I was in the kitchen cooking, whatever, man. And, you know, he was copping a lot of pleas, and he was pretty much blaming everything on one of his business partners, the guy, I guess, who was, you know, impersonating people on YouTube or whatever. And he was going through how, you know, how hard it is to maintain a black media company, how hard it's been, you know, how long, you know, Ozzy Media has been up or whatever. And, you know, kind of trying to play that card with Charlamagne because he knows that he's sympathetic to that or whatever. And whether it's like legit or not, I just don't have enough information, but he was there to answer every question that they had for him or whatever. And, you know, he kind of, stood in the line of fire, man. So to that point, I can give him credit for at least like not hiding, when the shitstorm came, whatever, man. But as to how legit it is, I wouldn't know, you know. I ain't gonna hold you.
It's been, you know, a lot of times you can't go by this, but, you know, I would believe somebody that actually worked there. Because you don't know if they, you know, they scorned or whatever, or they got a bone to pick or whatever. But, you know, you've seen a lot of people that worked there came forward. It's like, man, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, not to defend him, but when you starting up a company, as we all know, man, you know, there are a lot of fucking bumps in the road, and you're not going to get it right away. So, you know, he wasn't, you know, trying to hide the fact that they had some missteps or whatever. But I think his overall point was that, you know, they weren't stealing money, and he wasn't doing anybody wrong on purpose, whatever. Like, if things happen, you know, with them trying to get a black media company off the ground, especially before, like, you know, this influx of a whole bunch of other, you know, semi-successful and successful companies popping up or whatever, then, you know, that's not something that he did on purpose or whatever. It was just, you know, it's just hard out here for a brother. I'm trying to start a media company, man. He was like, you know, put all of his money, mortgage shit to get this shit going and keep it afloat. So why would it, you know, why would he do all these things to sabotage? And I think, who was it? What was the company? Can you help me out? That was in bed with him for a while, and like they did business with him. And then I think at one point he said that they tried to become a partner and buy him out. And when he didn't, you know, relent and, you know, agree to that, that's when they kind of started their smear company, this smear campaign, against them.
I can't think of who it is.
Yeah, I don't want shit on a fucking media company and just say, oh, yeah, so and so, but, yeah, man, real unfortunate, man, and, you know, kind of gives other people reasons as to why they might not or probably shouldn't do business with a quote-unquote black media company or black company, period, man. It's not really good news for anybody.
I don't know the name of the company, but I just know about this from what I just happened to be watching the Today Show, and he was being interviewed by Craig Melvin, and I remember the guy because, yeah, he was on the Today Show. He was like a correspondent or some shit, and he kept trying to be friends with Craig, and Craig was remaining professional. You know, he was like, "Cause Craig, you know me." Mm-hmm. He was like, "You know I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
You know I got integrity." Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Craig was like, "But I don't know what was going on at this company." That joint was real good, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Man, what the fuck?" Because I've never heard of no. What's it called, Ozzy?
Ozzy Media.
I never heard of it, dog.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Nigga, I was sitting there cooking, yo. He kept trying to be friends. He was leaning on that friendship real hard, yo. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, call us. Like, I know you, but I don't know the practices that were going on here. I don't know who you got involved with.
Mm-hmm.
That shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I might watch the Breakfast Club interview. Just to follow the story a little more, but yeah, just for comedy, if y'all want to dig up that Today Show interview, just for that dynamic between him and Craig, because he thought Craig wasn't gonna do his job pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Craig, he ain't never on that, you know.
That never. Shit was good, you know?
That's the last nigga on TV that I think I would try going somewhere to try to be friends with, you know. Like, nah, you know. Mm-hmm. You gonna answer these questions, dog? Like. Yeah, we can be friends afterwards, but right now, yeah, I can't help you. You know, so these receipts I got right here, yeah. So good.
Yeah, he was like, so where were you about that call, you know? Nigga, cooking. He was like, well, Craig, you know, when you're starting a company, there's a lot of things you have to handle. Like, I can't be everywhere at once. He's like, but you're like, you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, why wouldn't you on the call?
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there, man. I don't know what I was eating, but I was popping something, you know. I was like, mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know why this guy, you know. And it kept spiraling more and more, you know. Craig had them questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much the receipts, Kenny. It was just questions, you know. And Carlos ain't have good answers, man.
Nah, he really don't, you know.
It seemed like a little, like, obviously, he's a journalist. So it's kind of like a lawyer preparing a client for getting on the stand. He knows the questions that are going to be asked. He seemed a little too polished in his answers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were complete bullshit answers.
He definitely one of them niggas to try to get by on his good diction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, he was, you know, Craig was serving him up. And Carlos thought he was doing good because, you know, a lot of double talk, getting around it, wasn't answering things too directly, but still trying to seem authentic and sincere and vulnerable and shit. Like, he a victim too. I was just sitting there like, yeah, bro, like, that ain't working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, yeah.
I don't understand. I was like, why wouldn't, because Craig, he was like, they spent like a good 5 minutes on this call, you know. And Craig, I remember at one point he adjusted in his chair and was like real like flabbergasted. He was like, but Carlos, like, you're the CEO. Why weren't you on the call? He was like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. And dude just got blown, and like his answers were depleted. All his little canned answers were he run out, and he was just like, things happen, man. I was like, see.
Yeah. And Craig was like, make it make sense, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
No, Craig was like motherfucking Tom Cruise after Nicholson admitted he ordered that cold red, you know. He's like, I got what I wanted, so.
Hey, I do remember something funny from the Breakfast Club, because I was just, like, trying to find the name of that company. But, yeah, so, would you say, is OZ Media, Kenny? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, they had some, like, big networking event called OZ Fest or something like that.
Yeah, they're supposed to have it in Central Park, yeah.
Yeah.
And they spent millions on renting the park and all that shit, and it never happened.
Yeah, so then at some point when they were preparing for this, you know, he got a call from Sharon Osbourne, you know. She was like, hold on now, you can't be using this name because, you know, me and my husband done made this brand and don't got nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he went kind of in a roundabout way of like saying that, I don't know if he broke her off or whatever, but at some point, I think he's basically trying to be friends with them on like a national platform or whatever. And yeah, you know, she gave him the Heisman. You know, I was like, nah, mm-hmm. You know,
I don't know you.
Yeah.
So Craig covered that too. And he said, why would you call them investors? And they're saying they're not investors. And, you know, they went over that whole episode about them basically threatening to sue. And basically Carlos said, well, I gave them, you know, stock in the company.
Yeah.
And Craig was like, so that makes them investors. He was like, yeah, like you, that's real loose with like the definition of investing. He was like, 'cause usually people got to give you like funds to get in, you know, on the investment. He was like, but you're saying you gave them stock, so that makes them investors because, you know, they have an interest in the company. And Carlos like, yeah, you know, so that's investors. Like, that's the kind of thing you have to do to build a company. I was like, man, Craig, his ass, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's more professional, but Charlamagne always does something. He ends it with a laugh, young. So he was like, man, yeah, seems to me you play too much and you assume too much. And Yeah. Too bad, young.
Yeah, he talking about it's going to reopen. We'll see. Ain't nobody touching that shit.
Yep. All
right. He gonna be on Fox News, young. You know that. Hey, they always got a spot for niggas who willing to say some stuff. He about to be on there, young. He about to say y'all ain't shit, y'all.
He got that Fox News look already.
Hey, young. He about to say it, you know.
I wasn't trying to say nothing, Kenny, but yeah, dog.
Yeah.
No facial hair, young.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No facial hair, young.
There's no adjustment.
I don't like it, young.
Yeah, there's no adjustment on that part. So, yeah, he got one of them smiles too, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dog.
It's too big around white people. I already looked up some pictures.
Look up his motherfucking big Twitter handle, young. That Twitter handle, young. Mm-hmm. That shit, like, he's one motherfucking Publishers Clearinghouse, young.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to the brother, young.
We already got that nigga on Fox News.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out what's the next move, young.
Yeah.
What's the move? I don't.
But we'll see. You gotta see how the relaunch go, young. If he doesn't, he gonna have to recalibrate, young.
He better hook up with Byron, young. Ask Byron to buy his company for some nickels on the dollar, young. Byron will scoop it up. He'll figure out something to do with it, young.
Nigga, Byron. I'm surprised Byron ain't tried to buy our shit. This nigga buying every goddamn thing.
Hey, young. Byron, young.
This nigga bought something that I never even heard of, you know, some HBCU, like, digital channel. I'm like, what? HBCU to go? What the fuck is that?
Byron walking down the aisle throwing shit in the cart. Like, we'll figure out something for it later, you know?
You telling me people, they give them $30,000 for their shit?
He's snapping it all up, you know?
Isn't that, he had the dollar store, you know? Like,
exactly, you know? Y'all just keep doing what y'all doing. We'll figure it out in 10 years. Just keep building something. Yeah. I got in early.
Yeah, y'all ain't making motherfucking Byron Flint Hawk Gum Gold, young. Had that motherfucking monocle, young. Like, I'll take two of those, young.
Let me look this up, bro. I didn't even try to look this website up. See, this shit is. Hold up. Let me make sure I got that right, yeah. I'm going to type in Byron Allen HBC.
Byron going to say, yeah, you know. I'll take me a five starter and a black guy who tips. You know?
Yeah.
It's my Tuesday.
Bad. It's called HBCUGo.TV. Let me try it. HBCUGo.TV. Okay. Never heard of it,
You going to go to some shit that you're going to say. GeoCities, young.
Had them cities, young.
Somebody still had that domain lingering, you know? Them cities.
Yeah, you stupid as shit. Man, they got motherfucking Cousin Tommy on here, you know? Like, he got a motherfucking game show on his joint.
That's pretty good, it looked like it's...
That's academic, but it's HBCUs. You know? Wait a minute now. Hold on. He might be on to something here. Okay. All right. I'm going to check this joint out. All right. I see you, Byron.
I think we'll be asking Martin trivia on that joint.
Hey, I will watch and report back next week. I'm going to watch this whole season, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah. UNC's gonna be auditioning for that joint, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a nigga on here from Jackson State. He don't look too bright. Nah, yeah, I'm looking at this, you know.
Hey, young. Another another thing about Byron Young, y'all know he part of that Jimmy Walker stable from the late 60s and early 70s, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Jimmy had all them on the stroll, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep. He had Leno and Letterman, mm-hmm. yep. and he had somebody else. The nigga who got a
sure, ain't him and Larry David friends?
Yeah. Jimmy got money, young.
Yeah.
You ever seen Jimmy sad?
Well, I
mean, he don't do nothing. He don't do nothing but pop up every now and then and be happy, young.
He looked a little sad in that Cameron video. I mean,
that's pretty good.
He stepped out with them motherfucking chocolaters on. I said, wait, nah. Come, hey, Jimmy, come on, baby. Come on, baby, let's get it together. We better than this shit. We better than this shit, but, yeah.
But, yeah, that's my guy, you know. But, yeah, you know, I'm happy for him, you know. Because I remember being up Howard, you know. You know how you tried to tell them niggas about AB, you know. When Byron was putting out all them whack-ass shows... Mm-hmm. And syndicating them, yeah. I was like, this nigga gotta be caking, you know. I'm like, his show's in syndication like shit. I'm like, they not good, but he got a bunch of shows. Niggas like, that nigga not funny. I'm like, fuck funny. Yeah. I'm like, we agree, he not funny, you know. But yeah. Like, he
fuck caking. Funny.
Yeah. And I'm like, he gotta be caking, you know.
Yeah, little did we know, man.
Yeah, how much?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nigga. I first moved to DC, and that nigga followed Arch Campbell, young, and that was shit. That's after the Apollo, young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good 2:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. young.
Yeah.
Following Byron, like the
Almanac show.
He like that last generation of black comedians who tried to be classy, young. I'm serious. Try to be like classy and polished and try to like basically copy older white comedians like motherfucking Jack Paar and shit. Niggas mm-hmm. don't do that no more.
Yeah. Alright. Yeah. There's a lot of niggas who talked shit about Byron in the 80s and 90s who, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To say they would be ecstatic to get a phone call from a nigga right now would be an understatement, but yeah. I ain't gonna name no names because I'm actually fans of a lot of them dudes, but yeah. A lot of Byron Allen jokes, you know? Yeah, so. Yep. All right. Absolutely. All right, this email is from old friend Leonard Brothers, self-reporting the tank. What up, fellas? I'm here to self-report a tank. I'm on the phone with this young lady, and we were talking about different stores. She mentioned stuff like Home Goods, Target, and a couple others, and I was like, yeah. And the other joint next Tuesday? She was like, oh, you mean Tuesday morning? Yeah, we both busted out laughing, and I was like, damn, I got to report myself to a five-starter. Anyway, that's it for now. Holler at y'all again soon. Peace.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This one is from Michael. MyraFest 2021. Hey, what's up, fellas? Just want to say thanks again for all the great content. The segment where you pay tribute to Norm Macdonald was excellent. I think a couple of times I went to cardiac arrest from laughing so hard, but I have to tell you about this tank I heard a few months ago. I recently moved to Atlanta to help manage a new Cine Bistro a few months ago, and needs to say, when Respect came out, it was a MyraFest. I never saw so many mismatched short sets, open-toed sandals. Hey, and bad Beijing spray on in my life. But what really got me was one afternoon, one Myra came in and asked me if we were showing that Aretha Turner movie. I started.
Oh my God!
Man. I started cooking like Martin after he jumped off from underneath Gina's bed that hotel room. Wrong movie, miss. Again, thanks for everything, brothers. You guys have kept me going through the good and bad times. Be well, Michael.
Aretha Turner, young man, she need her motherfucking Myra card snatched, young.
Yeah, I mean, well, at the same time, he is managing a Cine Bistro in Atlanta, you know, so.
Hey. Oh, he gonna see some things.
Yeah, he gonna see some shit down here, bro. Man, we might make you a correspondent, you know. Some of these motherfucking movies coming out, you know. Now we need reports, all that shit. Video, yeah, the whole shit, you know.
Next best thing to Kirk and Rashida, right?
Bullshit, you know. Oh, man. All right. And this one is from Brian. Damn, it's Demeter Martino. Sup, fellas? Been a minute since I hit y'all with some Tino tanks. As the title says, these are minor tank offenses for Mr. Martino, but I share anyway. The first one was watching my sorry no-account Panthers lose to the Giants last week. And Tino goes, man, Danny Dotz is looking pretty good at this, y'all, ain't he?
Hey, young, that might be better, young. Might be
better. I mean, it sound right. Yeah, he meant he meant Danny Dimes. He later referred to the Giants coach as Judge Mathis. Yeah, it gets better. The second
this
one,
nigga,
he asked if Juwan Barkley was off of the season or just a few games.
Oh my god.
He meant Saquon Barkley.
Oh my god. Juwan Barkley.
that's that NCAA football joint. That's Juwan Barkley out of Penn State.
Oh shit, man!
Juwan Barkley, yeah.
them names of them recruits be suspect. Shit, they be close.
Oh shit! Oh man. The third one, he also kept saying the Panthers needed to trade Tom Arnold. Yeah, he was talking about Sam Darnold.
So these supposed to be little tanks, yeah? Right, I'm sitting here about to cry, you know?
Yeah, these is whoppers, yeah?
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I want to beat this guy, man. Damn.
Sam Arnold.
Man. And I got to self-report this last one. There's a show on YouTube called Aerial America where they give an aerial view of all the states. My dumb ass was searching for 30 minutes trying to find Airplane America. I turned myself, in for the obvious. That's all I got, fellas. Be easy. Oh, shit. Man. Pretty good, man.
The king, young.
Yeah. Yep.
You need to make a YouTube channel, dog. Just 5 minutes a day. Whenever you got time to hang with your boy, 5 minutes, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, you might need some closed caption at the bottom. Somebody to translate them joints, though, young. What he meant was, shit.
Whew. All right, man. Yeah, that's it, man. So.
Yeah, when you got Martino on deck, then all you need is two, yeah.
Yep.
All right, fellas. Since I didn't do it at the top, how was your week? What's going on with y'all, man?
Nothing too much. Off the next couple of days, so I'm just just glad just to be able to relax, sleep in. You know, you normally getting up at 4:30 in the morning. You know, you can set your alarm for 8 o'clock, and you feel like, man, like I can't even remember what this was like, during the week. So, just resting, and I want to catch up on some shows and just not do shit. So I was trying to start that new joint. What's an Invasion? Did I tell you that?
No, that's right.
Yeah, I wanted to start that today, but I got caught up doing some shit. So, I'm definitely going to start that, and if anything else I want to recommend, I'm all caught up on Wu-Tang, so that's the joint I've been looking forward to every week. But yeah, any recommendations out there, let me know, man. We have some time next couple of days, so
We'll get to some things on the TV segment.
So that's it.
All right, Bob.
just work. Been pretty busy. I ain't really. I don't think I went to see any movies. No, actually, I did. I went to E Street. I hadn't been there in a while. I forgot what I saw. It was about a fucking lady that falls in love with a robot. It was a foreign joint. It was solid. Nothing I'll review. But, I don't feel like reviewing that. Other than that, just work. Like, try and get some shit off my plate. I did take Monday off because, I told them in a meeting last week, I said, look, I'm taking Monday off because I've been working too hard. So I'm not starting my week going right back into work, I said. So look out for that time off request, because I'm chilling, And so I did that Monday, which was nothing. Got in my walks. I got in my walks all day this week. So that's good. Cause I don't feel like myself when I don't, I be getting moody now, I don't get them fucking endorphins, I don't like it. But yeah, that's about it, man. Nothing new.
All right. I got it in this past weekend. We had our full homecoming. Not much going on during the day. Like Boss said, got my walks in, knocked out a couple 10Ks Friday and Saturday, then went out and partied like after 6 or whatever, man. So I was, more than done, young. So, the journey came to an end on Sunday, man. I had nothing to give, so I topped out at 512 days straight, and I took Sunday and Monday off, man, and just fucking recovered, young. Like, I was fried and everything, but I was just fucking just exhausted also, man. Just a lot of shit going on. This is my last week before, I go back in the office full time too, so I probably a little bit extra just because of that, man. But that was pretty much it, man. Got with some folks I hadn't seen in shit close to 2 years. Dating, going back to people from junior high all the way through college and after college or whatever, man. So it was good to see, put my eyes with some people, man. Got up with a lot of folks, man. And man. Look forward to the real thing next year. But this was kind of a good warm up, especially with being off for damn near 18 months and not have my damn outside legs, man. So shout out to everybody who came out this past weekend, man. They had a real nice party for like people who kind of try and do the social distance thing out. People familiar with DC, we have a club called The Park, but across from that is an actual park that just got refurbished, Franklin Park. And they had Just Blaze out there, and my favorite DC DJ, Josh Sonic. And just a nice spaced event, and we had a good time. So that's pretty much it, man. Just getting ready for this, having to get up at fucking 6 or something every morning starting next week, man. And I'll probably just rest all this weekend, man. I don't want to see no damn drinks. I don't want to see no parties. I know it's Halloween or anything. My ass gonna be in the house, man. I got enough done last weekend, and we'll go from there, man. All right. I know it began as a fucking joke, but I really think these chicks upstairs do go out every fucking Wednesday. It's like they got fucking clogs on, trying to work their goddamn cankles out. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's get to some football. That's about the only thing I did on Sunday. I stayed in the bed and like was in and out watching football. So KB, watch the football team. You guys, who do you guys play Sunday?
Packers.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, not good, man. Yeah, 2-5. It's not good right now, man. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it, man. Just not good.
All right. Well, since you don't have much to say about that, man, what's up with this report today, Kenny, that the fucking league ain't gonna expound on what the fuck went on with this fucking organization in this damn report, yeah?
Roger Goodell's pretty much like, yeah, we've punished Dan Snyder enough. I don't know what could make them make the, you know, report public. I don't know, you know.
It's crazy,
But he's pretty much, yeah, I mean, but the thing about it, Tone, they do this type of stuff because they can.
But it's almost like you fucking waving in everybody's face, Sean.
Yeah, but then again, they pretty much like, what you going to do about it?
I mean, that's basically waving something in somebody's face is, Sean. Like,
yeah,
they could have just not said anything and just like Cube and beat it, young. But they like, nah, you know, we ain't going to say nothing and y'all going to do nothing about it.
Yeah,
like,
because the people that were making the complaints are the ones that are coming forward. Like, people are showing up at the owner's meeting and all that and like hand delivering like requests that they actually make this shit public. Like, they're starting to feel a little bit of heat on it. Like, you know, the media is starting to, you know, swarm a little bit more, not just the local media, but the national media. But ultimately, again, like, it's like, what y'all going to do? But yeah, y'all not going to stop watching. Y'all not going to stop going to the games. So what? We're not making it public. We punish Dan Snyder enough. We moving on. That's pretty much how they're carrying it.
It's wild, man.
Now, fans are like, man, won't somebody do something? Because they want Dan Snyder to sell the team. They're like, whatever it takes for him to give up ownership of this team, because it's been a fucking clusterfuck since he bought it. So whatever just will make him sell to somebody, it don't even matter who it is at this point. We all for it. But the NFL got them records, and they like, yeah, we're not making them public. We don't care what y'all do. So you got Congress now. They asking for it, but, I mean, this Congress don't got oversight over the NFL. So, again, and man, if anybody out there got any ideas about how to make this shit public, I'm all for it, you know. But as of right now, he like, yeah, we're not making it public and y'all can be mad about it. So. And the product on the field is back to being shitty. It wasn't good last year. I mean, they were 7-9 last year. I mean, they won a division, but they weren't good. People felt good for once that they actually got back to the playoffs and all that shit, but they weren't good. Yeah, now the team is back to being shitty again, so. And you got a retirement. I mean, I know we talked about this last week, but now they, you know, that shit with Sean Taylor. People still pissed off about that, man, so.
Yeah, I came in contact with a bunch of Washington football team fans over the weekend and since then. And, I had no idea how pissed off people were about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just some things you just don't do, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of them. But, again, just to get some of that heat off, that's what they did, so.
Yeah, but you know, I don't think it necessarily worked, though.
It didn't at all. It backfired. So, all the shit they've done to try to change the culture, the hiring Jason Wright and all that shit, people are like, ain't nothing. It's the same fucking, same shit they've been doing.
Yep.
So at some point, it's like, if you keep changing the general manager, change this motherfucker, put this person, this team president off, and y'all still doing the same shit, what's the one constant? It's the fucking owner.
Well, for the first time in probably about a year, calendar year, that is, Giants didn't give me any fucking cause to have to worry about a fucking game, you know, while I was recovering. Kind of them. Pretty much handled the Panthers this past weekend. The aforementioned Tom Arnold got benched. You know, subsequently, because of that, like, I've been seeing this week that Carolina's throwing their name. I'm seeing their name mentioned a lot more in these Deshaun Watson trade rumors also. So, Miami might have some competition there. Might be some bad packages out there for the Texans, man. But, yeah, man. Pretty good game by the Carlton fucking Dodge. My man Danny Dimes. You know, just last week, especially seeing how well he played on Sunday. Not saying that Carolina a world beaters, man, but he just didn't look right last week. And he shouldn't have been out there. But you know, pretty good game. Hope to get some more guys healthy. I'm not sure how long Saquon's going to be out. Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, but you know, kind of good to, you know, be amongst the bottom. Of the NFC East, not the absolute bottom. So I think all of us are like 2-5 now, with the Cowboys obviously being you know, division leading team right now. So, you know, just another week and trying to get better, man. That's about it. I think Kenny stepped away, so we'll probably do the rundown in a second. But, you know, in the meantime, Bob, what you got for, I know you got.
I don't have it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll give my award at the end. Yeah, after y'all give yours. Okay. But just, I didn't put it in the show notes. It was something I just thought about as we were starting. I wanted to ask y'all which of the young quarterbacks, let's say like under 25, because Mahomes is 26. Mm-hmm. So which of the young quarterbacks would y'all rather have moving forward, out of all of them? Because they were, I forgot which show it was, but they got, they had a fucking, it wasn't the topic specifically, but somehow it turned into Burrow versus Lamar, you know. And at first I got real offended. Then, yeah, I threw up that rock eyebrow, you know, like, I don't know.
Hey, Sam, to be honest with you, it's Kyler Murray and then it's Joe Burrow for me, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Burrow, pretty good, yeah.
Hey, dog, like, you know.
What? But I like Herbert, too, so.
Yeah.
It's, hey man. I like I said. I just wonder what y'all thought.
It'd be between Herbert and Josh Allen for me.
Josh, good too. You know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I know the fucking term is overused and, you know, doesn't really mean anything in school with football, young. But it's something about fucking Burrow's fucking swagger, young. Like, he fucking takes the field like it's his shit, young, and, you know, like, he's almost offended at the people fucking, like, you know, question him and shit, young. I like that fucking confidence, dog. Like that shit, and, you know, with all the fucking questions that came in the preseason, in the offseason about, you know, him getting hurt last year, him maybe being a little bit older than some of the rookies or whatever, and then, you know, Jamar Chase not being able to fucking hold onto the ball in the preseason, young, and, you know, these motherfuckers like 4-2, you know? Like, the fucking Bengals, you know? Like, out of fucking nowhere, dog. Like, I was watching one of these Talking Heads shows I had on at work, and somebody, it might have been Stephen A., who was saying that he wouldn't be surprised if the fucking Bengals win the AFC Championship game. Like, seems a bit far-reaching or whatever, man, but you guys say that's because of him, you know? I mean, you know, a lot of that has to do with Jamar Chase also, man, but he's the fucking leader, young. And this franchise has been shitty for a long time, young, and just in a matter of a season, young, like, they are respectable again, dog. Yeah. And a whole bunch of fucking, like, high-profile free agents or whatever, man. It should start with the quarterback, similar to what, you know, what you had with Herbert as well. So, yeah, man, but it is Kyle and then everybody else, though. I don't know how old he is and if that's going to, like, disqualify him or people just, like, saying that's a given, but just make sure people know, young, he is first.
Yeah, it's just an interesting question at this point. Definitively, I couldn't put one against the other. Like I said, it only came up because I've been listening to, I think it was First Take, like right before I came in the door, you know. And yeah, they had that, they were talking about Cincy, and yeah. Somebody said he might be better than Lamar, you know, or they would take him over Lamar. And I was like,
Yeah, I think people might not differentiate that, man, but I would look at that two different ways. Lamar is better, young, but I'd probably take Burrow, though.
I think you're saying his production is better. Because if you're talking about you would take him in an important game before Lamar, then I just think you're saying he better at that point. Like, no, people split hairs like all the time with that shit.
I would take him moving forward for my franchise, like, because obviously, well, to me, when they mention like the age or whatever, it's indicative of like moving forward. Who would you want the quarterback of your franchise for the next 10 years?
Yeah,
I mean, in a game right now, I'd probably take Lamar. Like, you know, he's the better player right now, but I think that Burrow just has the upside, man.
I got you.
I worry about Lamar getting hurt, young. I mean, there's no way I can get around that, young. I mean, Kyler won a lot too, young, but it's just like Lamar sometimes. It's just like, it just looks reckless, young. It looks sweet a lot, young, but I just worry, young. I just worry, yeah. Dog.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he don't get hurt, but I think his numbers are going to keep being like crazy. Like Lamar, for the next, I don't know, probably like 7 years. It's going to be 3,500 passing, over 1,000 rushing, a combined 35 touchdowns, like rushing and passing. Like, he going to put up some crazy numbers.
Yep.
It's just, you know, in the playoffs, when shit tightens up and, like, motherfucking defensive coordinators work around the clock, trying to break you down, you know. It ain't been turning out too good, so we'll see, man. The thing about him, he's so explosive though. Like, they can try to contain him though. All it takes is one crease.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sooner or later, like, he gonna break through because the defensive coordinator who planned that way, their luck gonna run out. I mean, you talking like what is it, like 40 something plays a game, yeah? When he dropping back, he gonna get free, you know? Like one of these big playoff games, he gonna get free, and like all that shit about he can't beat you with his legs, then teams gonna start being scared of that. So I think eventually he gonna break through. It might be this year, but just odds. I always prefer like pocket passes because I don't think the game's evolved enough where pocket passing is like no longer like teams can't get away with that anymore. Like I don't think they're bigger, faster, stronger to the point where guys can't just sit back in the pocket and survey the field. We ain't at that point yet. We getting there, but we ain't at that point yet.
Yeah, and also I think pocket passes, like, you know, we talk about the quote-unquote athletic quarterbacks, whatever, but I think a lot of pocket passes have evolved also because, you know, he's considered a pocket passer, but Joe Burrow, like, he's not a fucking sloth back there, you know. Fucking
no,
Daniel Jones, real athletic too, man, but they consider pocket passes because of, you know, because they white, basically, you know, to put it simple. And Kyler Murray, I don't think he's necessarily a running quarterback, but those fucking electric plays and shit, you see him with his feet, but he be throwing some pretty ass fucking passes to DeAndre and shit, and, you know, that might not get as much pub, but...
There's one thing that hasn't really been talked about over the last, I'd say maybe 10 years, is how much running the ball has been incorporated in training routines of quarterbacks. So it's something they train for like now. So like 30 years ago, they didn't train for that shit. So, but now they do it. So then, you know, you just can't assume now that a quarterback that you're taking in the top five, just because he's white, he can't run. They train to do that now. So guys like Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, like these dudes, they can run. So they're not like the statues that they used to be, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
I just like Allen and Herbert because I'm a sucker for a big arm. And, you know, watching those dudes, man, they've made throws that just have left an impression on me because I'm like, man, yeah.
Yeah.
People, that's not normal right there, you know. That's not normal at all, especially Justin Herbert. You know, he's done stuff with his arm these first 2 years, and I'm like, dog, I don't know what the fuck we were looking at. I didn't see a lot of that dude at Oregon, but shit, man. Yeah. If only I would have known, you know. Yeah, obviously the Chargers did, because, yeah, he shouldn't have went where he went in the draft. That's obvious.
Yeah. What's the Bills tight end name, Kenny?
Dawson Knox.
Yeah. So that national TV game, that throw Josh made, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
I've been tweeting about him like since last year. Like I mean, I don't have no agenda, but you know, it is kind of funny. Like niggas wanted him to be sorry. You know?
Yeah, I did. I'll admit it. I wanted him to be.
Oh, sorry. I ain't know you was in it, but
yeah, when he first got drafted, I'm like, wow. And now, you know, I saw him a couple games. I'm like, for real. But you gotta have vision. They had vision. They built a team around them. And obviously it's worked. But yeah, his arm, man.
Crazy. It's yeah, crazy. You know?
That fucking, you talking about the game against the Titans. That fucking touchdown pass he threw to Emmanuel Sanders in that game.
Yeah.
Just like, just the flick. Like, I mean, it was no, like, he didn't wind up. Nah, it was just like, okay, there is boom. Ball is out. And this is a fucking laser, you know?
Yeah. That shit don't be looking real, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I said, like, that's where I'm at with my shit. I see stuff like that. I'm like, I want that. I want somebody that can make the hard throws look just elementary. And Herbert and Josh Allen, they do that, you know?
See, yeah. My philosophy on quarterbacking is I want someone who makes the easy throws look easy. And someone who makes easy plays look easy. I just want consistency from a quarterback, you know.
Well, see, that's what I like with Herbert, is that he knows when to throw it hard. He knows when to throw it with touch. Like, he's a passer. Some guys just throw the ball. He's a passer. Josh Allen has got a lot better at that as well. Lamar has gotten better at it. He's getting better at it. Kyler Murray sometimes, he don't, like... the speed on his throw sometimes, and he knows it. But sometimes when he needs to throw something with touch, he'll just throw it way too hard. And he'll, like, almost know it as soon as he throws the ball. He'll be like, damn, I should have put some more touch on that.
Right.
Just looking at some of the younger guys, Herbert, to me, is the one that stands out above all. Like, Yeah, he's got it. He's got that down pat. Yeah. I can't just say how much I've been impressed by that dude, man. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to be clear. I'm not talking about like arm talent either. I'm talking about like making like easy checkdowns and shit too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm real big on that. Like that's why I think, you know, I ain't want to bring him up because I hate Bill. You know, I think Mac Jones going to be in this conversation too. The more I watch him, you know.
Yeah, he is.
When he get weapons,
very smart.
He good. You know, I can't even deny it.
He's been well coached. He's a smart player. You know, there's a lot of football savvy. There's a lot of things that you probably don't even have to coach him about because it's embedded in him.
Right.
So, like, when Bill got him, he knew what he got. He's like, man, you know what? He not going to need a whole lot.
Yep.
We're going to need to put guys around him. But as far as, like, making him understand the basics of the game, he got that already down pat.
Yep.
So, it's just a matter of, like, getting us an effective run game behind him and just getting some fucking better receivers. But as far as, like, his developmental curve, yeah, man. He'll be all right. 2 years, yeah. It'll be set it and forget it, man.
Yep. I'm just curious to see which of these young dudes going to end up being like, or which few going to be head and shoulders better than the rest. Because all of them going to be good. Like, this is the next 10 years of quarterback and we're talking about right here. None of them, I don't think, unless they get injured, are going to flame out or lose their job. Like, all of them are good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam, that's the one thing. There was an article in the Athletic last week about Ron Rivera and like how already the clock is ticking on him because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, can't identify one.
You can't identify a quarterback, so you don't know if you're going to get help at that position in the draft this year. And right. It's hard to attract one because your head coach is – a defensive mind head coach, and if you ask agents, you ask just players around the league, you know, if there's a, you know, an opening and the head coach is an offensive minded coach like a Sean McVay type and the head coach is a Ron Rivera type, where would you go? And 9 times out of 10, they're going where the offensive, you know, the coach is an offensive minded coach. So they got that working against them, but also it's just the fact that they just haven't had luck just identifying who's going to be the quarterback of the future. And this has been going on for decades now. So now you look at somebody like Ron Rivera, who was 79 last year. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. Like, it's the most important position on the field. And if you don't get somebody in there soon to stabilize that position, he'll be gone in 2 years. And they'll be looking for another coach again.
Right. But you know what's frustrating, though, Kenny? It is helping this draft. They just got to identify him, you know.
I wouldn't mind Kenny Pickett. I've said it. If they ended up taking him.
You know I don't know because I don't watch. I'm just saying every year there's a good fucking quarterback.
Yeah. But see, nobody trusts them to do it. So, like, even somebody like Malik Willis. I'm surprised, actually, that, like, the Todd McShays of the world. Like, I saw something today. I was at the bar. And, something came on ESPN. They did like a segment with Tom McShay, and he's like, his top quarterback was Malik Willis. And I was a little surprised at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the simple fact that, I mean, I know he's very athletic, got a big arm, but he's real small. And if you watch, I was like, yeah, you see the talent, but he, for real, he the number one guy? A little surprising. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be good because I see why people like him, but I don't know if this is a really good quarterback draft if he's the top guy. But then again, there are some good quarterbacks out there, and I do like Kenny Pickett. For every time I watch Pitt play, I'm like, I like that dude. Accurate, you know what I'm saying, good size on him. So if they end up taking him, and he ends up being just a solid starter, that's all we need, solid. Like Kirk was solid. I don't mind solid if you have other pieces around solid. We just got to get back to solid, man.
Yeah.
All
right. To be clear, you think any of these quarterbacks in this draft can be in this conversation we just had, though?
I may be really underrating Malik Willis. I might be doing that. But again, like, just considering the competition every time I'm like, yeah, I get it. Okay, that's a good throw. He's gotten a lot better at that. Just the accuracy on his throws and all that stuff. I guess you're just projecting what he's going to be. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't just look at him as he's a finished product. You're projecting what he's going to be like, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line. So maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line, he is an NFL star. But just watching him right now, like, I was more impressed with, like, watching, like, the few games I saw Trey Lance. I liked him more than Malik Willis.
Okay. All right, because, you know, this conversation we just had, we didn't even fucking mention, like, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, really.
Yeah, they haven't really looked that good. Yeah.
They haven't. Yeah. But it's early.
It's early. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Kenny, let's get to some games from this week. We got...
All right. I got to charge my damn phone up. All right, we already talked about watching football team. Just to reiterate, yeah, just quote the old ball coach. Not that good, man. Not good. All right. Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. Dearness Johnson. I didn't start him on my fantasy squad, but he still had 22 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown. On that first drive, they just drove right down the field on the Broncos, man. And you kind of tell from there that, the Browns kind of had it in the back. I mean, only won by 3 points, but, yeah, Broncos didn't put up much resistance, man. Titans beat the Chiefs 27-3. They whooped that ass. KC's 3-4 now, dog.
It's getting close to be that time, young. It's not panic
that
time.
That 2-year rebuilding process time, man.
No, I'm talking about like it can just be a bad year, young. You know, like because Andy did a lot with the defense the past 2 years, but they've traditionally been a bad defensive team with him at the helm. So maybe with a couple injuries or whatever, you know, can't mask things as well this year. And, hey, man, we'll get to Pat Mahomes in a minute, man.
Oh, I don't even think it's his fault, you know.
He does a lot of shit that people see as cute, young. And when it's working, young, it's fine. But started developing into bad habits, young.
Yeah, man.
Doesn't mean he's getting bushed, young, but he be making some bad throws, young. Bad decisions, dog.
I'm like Kenny. I'm basing this entire take on my fantasy teams, young. Them secondary receivers, Hardman and Robinson, they sorry. And, they causing, Kelce and Hill to get boxed up a little bit, you know? Because they can be single covered, you know? They real bad. I don't understand how you can be that fast and not get open.
Well, I think they're open. It's just that teams are just daring them to beat them deep.
Sure.
They take away. They take all that deep shit away. So they're like, all right, we just going to keep this football game within these 20 yards right here. So just beat us within these 20 yards. And the Chiefs haven't figured it out.
Yeah, man.
This is an offense thing, no doubt about it.
Yeah, him.
So, yeah. I don't know how much of it is all on coaching, how much of it all on the – I don't know what's going on in the huddles and all that shit. But this is 100% an offense thing.
Right, because the defense has been this way, you know.
Right, the defense
has changed. I don't see how they've gotten any worse. That's my thing.
Right, yeah.
So I don't even know why people been pointing at them, you know.
Nah, this ain't nothing on the defense. The defense has been like this. They just been outscoring everybody. But now they're not. Because teams are like, yeah, you know, Tyreek Hill not getting deep. Y'all not getting deep. No, Oklahoma's like, because these are, you know, little guys that they want to stretch the field. They're not doing that. Teams have finally found a way to muck the game up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at 9 picks. He just had two fumbles on this past weekend, yeah. Hey, man.
I mean,
the guy who's supposed to be the generational, like, he's going to break everybody's record and be the greatest, son. Like, gotta get some blame, yeah.
I hear you. I was about to say, if anything, like, if you want to blame him, it's he's gotten so used to the explosive plays, like, his patience isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of, like, the older dudes. It was either, like, Rex Ryan or, who's one of the older dudes, yeah? Rex Ryan be on ESPN, and then the other one who used to, Mangini. So Mangini mm-hmm. be on Fox. So one of them, they said, they were just talking about how this is the first time, like, because of the way they're playing coverage now against this offense. He's like, this is the first time Mahomes has had to prove that he can methodically move a team down the field. And he was like, that's just a matter of patience. Like, he can do it. Like, he can read a defense.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to do it. And he pulled up 3 big-ass clips of him ignoring that check now, y'all. Mm-hmm. And I was just smiling, y'all. He was like, that's there. He was like, that's 7 yards. He was like, why he don't want it?
Right, so that's not on Andy, though, right?
No, I ain't say it was on Andy. I agree. But I don't think it's all Mahomes. I think it's just a philosophy. I think as a team, they got to come together on the offensive side of the ball. Like, defense, whatever y'all can do to help, sure. But you got to change the philosophy a little bit. Like, if the big play ain't there, like, yeah, man, let's scheme a little bit to open up some more intermediate stuff and some more stuff underneath.
And you also got to, at some point, make team respect the run a little bit.
Yeah.
Teams just know you're not running the ball.
They need to draft a hammer, Kenny.
They could trade for one.
True.
You know how many dudes like...
Mark Ingram just got Mark traded, Ingram. And they didn't get him.
Marlon Mack. It's just wasting away in Indianapolis. A dude like that would be an upgrade for them.
Nigga.
But there's people all over the NFL that would be an upgrade over what they got in the backfield right now.
But look, Texans would give away David Johnson for a pick, too. They throw away their whole backfield. They sorry. David Johnson could help the Chiefs, you know.
Yeah, but here's a question, though, Young. Would Andy use him?
Andy has never had a problem. That's the thing about it. Like, he can adapt to his personnel. He's done it. But Andy, I mean, shit, Brian Westbrook has some of the best years of his career playing under and, like, just getting fed the ball. LeSean McCoy, just feeding the ball. When he's had talent back there and somebody he trusts, absolutely. I don't think he trusts any of the backs that he has to actually give him that work.
Is Edwards hurt?
He's not playing.
He was hurt.
Cause I know they even started off last year, like, giving him the ball a lot, and then they just kind of strayed away from it, you know, and became the motherfucking passion show.
I don't think he's like somebody you give the ball to 15, 20 times a game. He's more of a change of pace type dude. Like, they need somebody that just can run between the tackles, somebody that even if it means just setting a play action.
But just
sometimes, like, they just need fucking 3 yards. There's somebody that can give them 3 yards. Instead of resorting all this trickery and all this bullshit, like, man. Anyway, Falcons beat the Dolphins 30-28.
That was the... Hold up. No. I thought that was a damn, the, what's called game? The London game. But,
nah, that was the Miami. Yeah. Patriots beat the hell out of the Jets 54-13.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Giants beat the Panthers. We mentioned the Bengals beating the Ravens 41-17.
Yeah, that was a manhandling, young.
Yep. Put it lightly.
Like, you know, I usually hear my man Brian give excuses as to why the Ravens didn't win. He's like, hey, man, look, that was the ass kicking. Ain't much you can do about that, you know?
Yep. Raiders beat the Eagles 33-22. Raiders are now 5-2.
Yep.
Rams beat the Lions 28-19. Cardinals beat the Texans 31-6. Yeah, Arizona 7-0.
Five.
Huh?
I thought it was 31-5.
31-5. What did I say?
Six.
I'm up ahead.
They 1-6. That's why you probably saw it.
Okay. The Buccaneers beat the Bears 38-3. Yeah, once again, what the Bears did on offense wasn't professional. It just isn't.
They've had like two games like that this year.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's like, I don't know what the fuck. Do y'all practice during the week? What the fuck is going on here? I feel real bad for Allen Robinson. He don't deserve this shit. Colts beat the 49ers 30-18. I just don't understand why Jonathan Taylor's not getting 20 plus carries a week, but.
Man. Well, that's your thing. More importantly, what the 49ers going to do at quarterback, you know?
Trey Lance is the future at the position.
So why is Kyle Shanahan so steadfast and trying to Garoppolo out there then?
Well, Trey Lance is hurt.
Oh, he's hurt this week? Okay. I thought I read something about like Shanahan saying that Garoppolo gives him the best chance and that's why he's going to continue starting going forward or something.
I mean, he may believe that now, but I mean, I think it's obvious. Like, yeah, Garoppolo probably not going to be there next year. Mm. I mean, I'll just assume that he drafted Trey Lance to be Garoppolo's replacement. He may just feel like he's not ready to be the full-time starter just yet, but yeah, I think to me it's pretty obvious what they're going to do at quarterback. They're not going to run them dual quarterbacks out there for the next 2 to 3 years. Like,
so when he started, was it because Garoppolo was hurt or was it because Garoppolo got replaced in the game and Trey played well?
I'm not sure. Next start? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And the Saints beat the Seahawks 13-10.
Yeah, Seahawks cooked, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, 2-5, yeah, they cooked. All right, KB, let's get your award of the week.
All right. My goon running back of the week is Seahawks running back Alex Collins. 16 carries for 35 yards. That's a 2.2 yard per carry average. And Seattle's 13-10 loss to New Orleans, as I just mentioned. And my Freddie Mitchell fans football site said, nobody really stood out, but I give the Lions wide receiver Khalif Raymond 6 receptions for 115 yards in Detroit's 28-19 loss to the Rams.
All right. My Larry Holmes Flavian Sick Award goes to Pat Mahomes. 3 turnovers. Actually, it was 2. He fumbled twice. Recover one. And my D'Angelo Hall Playmaker Award of the Week goes to Jamar Chase. We're going to receive at 201 yards and it just embarrassed the fucking Ravens secondary this past Sunday. Alright, Mba. the button.
Okay, yeah, I'm back. Yeah, man, Jamar Chase got two awards this week, man. Because he won this week's Antonio Brown Better Than Randy Moss agenda. Because dumb niggas said Randy Moss was better than Jerry Rice Award. He had did you already give his stats? 8 catches.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, 8 catches, 201 yards, and he broke an 80, mm-hmm. 80 something yard on a Olajuwon type pivot and took one to the house, you know. That pivot somebody was else. Big as shit, you know. I just started laughing. I said, them niggas missed him.
Someone else had a nasty pivot this weekend, too. I think it was DeAndre, you know.
Tight. The pivot
parked right there. He parked right there at the 17-yard line. It's like, it was almost like a motherfucker, a computer glitch, you know. Them defenders was like, huh? He just walked up the field, you know, 17 more yards and scored.
Hey, Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest pivot I ever seen, yeah. You know? I want to test how true of a fan you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz if you press like me, you this shit seared into your memory as a kid, you know. I just know it was against the Giants. I forget which year, you know. That Gary Clark on the sideline nigga, pivot, you know.
I know what it was, huh? Yep. I remember mm-hmm. it, you know? I remember that one.
That joint was sweet, you know. Damn, he turned around fast, you know. Nigga, we went outside real quick and started playing in the street imitating that shit, you know.
Yeah. Oh.
That joint was a beast, though.
All right, let's get to some NBA news. Shit, we got 2 weeks, two full weeks in the books now.
We got 1 week. Last week the season started last Tuesday.
Okay. Oh well. All right, what we got? What's happening with the Wiz, KB? Start out 2-0, right?
Got the Celtics tonight. Game started.
Well, that'll be a 150 to 165 final score.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics don't stop nobody, and they're going to outscore everybody, and they're going to win.
Yeah, it's early, man. I don't know, you know. I look at it, and I'm just like, man. At best, this team going to win 38 games. At best.
Damn.
They definitely better than they were last year.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's not hard, man. So,
No, you're right.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma bothers me. I don't know, man.
He definitely not a DC dude, you know. I know he mad as shit he hear, you know.
Yeah, he did.
He about to start doing what he got to do to get to Miami, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's only so many brunches at St. Ives he can go to, you know.
Right. Outfits be getting laughed at and shit by these niggas, you know. Like, I don't like it here, you know. They don't understand. Yeah.
I thought it was Kappa's here. What's this?
Yeah.
All these grays and navies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. So, it's early, dog. But, yeah, man. We ain't doing shit, so.
Yeah, I don't have a read on this season at all, yeah. Except that I'll give them a couple of weeks to recover, but Embiid looking washed, yeah. Them knees looking real fiery, yeah.
Dog, before any of this shit even started, yeah. I want to say 2 years ago, yeah. When they got a good season on Embiid, I was like, young, why does it have to be a conversation about which one you're going to trade, you know? He's not going to be healthy. And that other nigga, like, you know, I know it's going to be this bad, but yeah, he can't shoot, so I would try to maximize and get as much for both of them, young. I don't think either of those dudes are long-term solutions for franchises. They carry franchises, young.
Hey, yeah, see, that's the conversation we keep having on here, young. You know how much job security he would have to be Jerry West to do that, young.
I get it, young. I get it. I get it.
Them fans would run your ass out of town, man. They wouldn't see that kind of vision. They'd rather watch these niggas just fucking disintegrate before their eyes, you know? Year after year, getting worse and worse, more unhealthy, a shell of themselves.
So. It's like, especially now, young, since you don't have this nigga out there, at the very least, making plays for people and defending this shit, young, that means the load is going to be even heavier on Embiid night in and night out. And niggas already be on this goddamn load management shit. And he got chronic injuries, young. Like, who don't see this coming, young? I don't understand. Niggas be like, no, he'd be all right. What? He is? For real?
Yeah, man.
But, you know, he just the type of nigga people in Philly fuck with too, young. So I get it, young. It'd be riots, young. It'd be babies thrown out windows. I get it, young. But if you want to win, young, and get rid of niggas before they become liabilities and they be sitting there with them big ass chunky motherfucking salaries sitting on the bench, young. In them civvies, young. You'd be smarter. Look, man, like, you know, I don't think John Wall is washed, young, but that contract was big as shit, young. Like, they had to get rid of it. Anyway. I don't know how long LeBron's out, but he ain't played last night. Russy went the fuck off. Like, I'm not going to be here doing the Russy show week in and week out, young, because he going to make niggas mad one night and dunk on the whole world and score 30 the next night and shit. So, hopefully niggas stay healthy. Especially AD. He fell last night too, young, but
the way he was holding his knee, I was like, oh shit, he out for the year.
Bruh.
Then that, so you know, he right back up in there. Well, I ain't see, huh?
Yeah, dog. I watched that little package on House of Hoops, young. When he was holding that knee, I was like, great, young. Mm-hmm. Man, I seen them motherfucking pink shoes moving real fast, young. I was like, okay. Cool.
I didn't know what happened. I just saw a CA type fuck, you know. It was like 13 U's in that motherfucker. He was like, fuck. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, one of his guys got hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Marcus was talking over the weekend and shit, man. And Marcus was like, yeah, that nigga fall too much. And I was like, he do, but from what I've seen this year so far, it's like somebody just told him to fall on his ass, young, and let the rest of that shit, you know, fall out, you know, work out how it may, young. Like, that whole trying to break your fall, like, he be falling real good, young, and when he dunk, young, that nigga hold onto that rim for a good 5 seconds and make sure everybody cleared the fuck out, young. So, hopefully it's up into that and keep him healthy for once. Alright, what else going on? I saw this joint this morning. People asking, would you take LaMelo or Ja Morant? Let's have that conversation.
LaMelo.
I would probably say LaMelo too.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, man, Allen Iverson ain't walking through that door, man. Like, given Ja Morant had three players against us the other night that just otherworldly, young. But unless he put on, his frame ain't even built for that, young. Like, he's not going to be a big guy, young. he just too fearless, Sean. Too fearless for his own good.
I just feel like I've seen it before, yeah. Like, yeah, I feel like I've seen his type before. And that might not be fair, but he gonna have some numbers for his career or whatever, because he's so fucking athletic, and he one of them guys that he's pretty much up every night. Like, I rarely see him have a bad game because he just don't, you know, his body language ain't into it like that particular night. Like, he just have bad games, but his body language don't say, like, yeah, I don't feel like it tonight. So he gonna consistently produce, but yeah, I just would prefer Melo.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't have to think about that. That's not something that's really hard.
Look at how we done become full circle with Melo, y'all. It's all right.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, when it's obvious, shit, it's obvious.
It ain't like he grew fucking 4 inches, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Like you said, it's just a weekend. It's early. But, them Bulls looking good, young. Maybe it's just a guard and a swingman league that's going to carry them, but yeah, signs look good so far, young.
I mean, look, man. They solid. Like, I'm not going to go crazy about the Bulls. I ain't got no agenda against them. If anything, like, I should be pulling for them because I fuck with Zach, but look, man, they the Bulls. They made two real good moves, you know. They got fucking Vucevic. Is that how you say it? I felt like Kendrick Perkins just now, yeah. And they got DeMar, you know. That showed they were serious about at least making the playoffs. At least doing that. They're gonna make the playoffs. Now we'll see how good they are, you know, as the chemistry keeps getting better and how committed the players are. And, you know, as Zach seems to be coming, like, more of taking more of a leadership role on that team. And, you know, if he continues to be serious about wanting that team to ascend to the level of a contender, maybe they will, you know. But I obviously had my doubts, you know, because the Bulls have been sorry, you know, for a while.
Yeah. I like, you know, if they're going to play this style of offense, I really like them having Lonzo out there, too, because obviously he don't need to shoot a lot, but I thought he became a better shooter over the past couple of years, though, and if you're out in a break, young, like, that's one of them dudes that you want having the ball, young. He gonna find you. All right, guess we can move on to our second segment, entertainment. And KB said you want some things to watch this weekend, man. Kind of behind on my shit. Dune dropped on Friday, I think, but my weekend was washed, young, so I played a little bit of catch up on Monday. Caught the latest episode of The Morning Show. Probably still my favorite show right now on TV. Sam, your man, Corey's still the biggest dirtbag in motherfucking New York City, young. Like, this motherfucker just want to keep his job and keep him ratings, young, at any fucking cost, young. So, that's real good, and man, I might just start checking out more of these shows on Apple, you know, because all the ones that I've come invested in, like, they haven't disappointed, man. The latest is Invasion. Sam, are you all the way caught up on that joint?
What, Invasion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all caught up. I was mad, you know. I thought that shit...
Nah.
I thought more episodes were out because I'm completely new to it. So, yeah, that shit stopped cold, you know. That shit... Yeah. You know, I was expecting that next episode going to pop up and see that circle, you know, winding
that
up.
Wheel, yeah.
Man, they showed me some more show options. You know? I said, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here, let me switch to Hulu or something.
Yeah. Yeah, man, but I guess that started on Friday also. So, yeah, they dropped 4 episodes. So, if you guys are looking for something to watch, The Invasion's real good. It's on Apple Plus. And they drop episodes every Friday also, I believe. Yeah, man, it's pretty, what's the word I want to use, man? They're going for a lot here, you know? Like, if you're a fan, like, best way I can fucking kind of describe it is if you watch The Walking Dead, this is almost like The Walking Dead, all 3 fucking series concurrently running this shit, man. It's like 5-6 storylines going on at once right here, you know? And it got a little something for everybody, so if you don't really care about some motherfucking kids and shit falling inside a motherfucking ravine, when these aliens arrive and shit, you don't gotta watch that. You got, this Korean girl, who works for, like, NASA, overseas, like, she looks like she's gonna have a fucking prominent role here, because I think her girlfriend got lost in space. Like, it may look like she died, but I don't think she did. I think she got snatched up by the motherfucking alien junk. Got a brother. I want to say this dude played on that last season of 24 as like a drug dealer in DC and shit. He's like leading a group in Afghanistan. You got, what's the old dude name from motherfucking Jurassic Park and shit? He's a fucking sheriff or whatever, like, on his last day of work or whatever, when he find the motherfucking crop circles and shit.
It's Sam something, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Motherfucking deputy got them, got them pretty ass eyes, you know? Peep that, you know?
Yeah, she from, She's Gotta Have It. Spike Lee series on Netflix.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yep. Yeah, all that's cool, young. Yeah, but the storyline of all storylines is this Middle Eastern lady who just caught her motherfucking husband cheating, and yeah, young. Yeah. As soon as she fucking confronts him, man, the motherfucking aliens blow up half they block, young. So, yeah. My smile was big as shit right then and there, you know, because I'm like, they're going to have to be together through this shit, and she going to be fucking with him the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
I hadn't gotten to that point yet. I watched the first 15 minutes, and I guess he was, like, on that tablet, like, he wasn't what he was supposed to be. He started calling him.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
And that's when I cut it off, because, like, I ain't got time for this, you know, but... That's what happened, you know? Thanks.
Yeah. She giving him the blues while the world ending, you know?
Good.
It's so stupid, you know?
Good, you know? Good.
It's stupid, but, young, like, I was telling Ba last night, young, like, I'm enjoying it, but if this character was black, young, I might have to boycott this show, young. He's arguably the most bitch-made nigga on TV in the last 15 years, young. I mean... I know you ain't watched it, Kenny. It's not going to really spoil it, young, because, you know, it's just good seeing her disappointed and shit, but this nigga pretty much wasn't there for his fucking kids while they were going through an alien invasion to begin with, young. Mm-hmm. All the motherfucking kids started hearing motherfucking voices and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't there for that. Didn't answer the phone for that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't answer the follow-up call or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come home for dinner, young.
Mm-hmm.
So motherfucking careless, he left his goddamn locations on his goddamn phone.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife came and found his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the fucking, like, decency to, you know, at least shut the motherfucking curtains and shit, because, you know, all white people in the suburbs keep their motherfucking window blinds up and shit, man. So he fucking his mistress, his blonde mistress, right there in the motherfucking kitchen, in the living room. Yeah, that mentions she blonde and she white, young.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Check mark there, young. Mm-hmm. So he's cheating on his...
His wife sure mentioned it.
Nigga.
She had questions, you know.
And, like, his wife raising his motherfucking nuclear family and shit, young. Mm-hmm. She's Harvard educated, young. She's a motherfucking doctor and shit.
Well, I thought she said that she went to medical school. She wasn't a doctor.
She went to medical school.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she got credentials, young. Mm-hmm. And this bitch just on Instagram cooking, young. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, then when the shit go down, the shit goes down, whatever, this motherfucker freak out. Dog, the shit when they made it blatant, young, he couldn't start the car, young. Oh, I said, no good ass nigga can't start the car, young.
He that useless.
Dog, it's too much, young. So, again, young.
he couldn't push
if
that.
If he was black, young.
He couldn't push that button, young. Or they still using keys, young.
Hey, she's like, you can't start the Tesla. He's like, just give me a minute.
Hey, yeah. So, Let me say something, yeah. They can't use that no more, you know. Because all you gotta do is push a button, you know. That whole shit about the starter, and you fumbling for keys and all that shit. Nah, you know. That can't be used in movies no more, you know. Just hit that button, you know.
She was like, are you doing it right, you know?
He said, just give me a minute.
So, his motherfucking kids in the back seat.
Oh, wow, them lasers coming in.
Hey, dog. That next big explosion hit, young. So, he couldn't start the car. So, he jumped out. And, dog, if it couldn't get any worse, young, he ran to his neighbors. He's like, you got to let us in. They were like, we don't have room enough. So, I thought he was about to be noble, young. Nope. He was like, well, just let me get in. Nigga.
And fuck my
of
family?
Of course they said no.
And yeah. Fuck my family?
Huh?
Fuck my family?
Yeah. Bushes, young.
Damn!
So, of course, he turned around, young. And she's standing there with her arms folded, young. And she was like, give me the fucking phone, whatever. Because I guess the Tesla starts with the phone, whatever. Of course, she started right away, young. She looked over at that nigga like, he motherfucking Mobb Deep and she parking motherfucking Atlanta, young. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nigga, you barely breathing. Mm-hmm. Don't you got sickle cell?
Mm-hmm.
See, when these aliens coming, you ain't doing well, young. Mm-hmm. So, they driving. He got his head down on his phone and shit like he watching a scary movie, young.
That's pretty good, by the way.
Hey, young. He's so bitch, mate. I couldn't believe it, young. Mm-hmm. They get to a rest stop. Of course, they run out of gas or some shit. So, of course, the man's supposed to be the one to either hijack or barter for a car, young.
Yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
She do it, young. And again, she like, yeah, get your bitch ass in the passenger seat, young.
Yeah. Hey, you might have me up all night watching this shit now, young.
Hey, young, it's so blatant, young. They get to a motherfucking a motel and shit, young. She bartering for the fucking room. She's like, yeah, I need two beds. And then, like, I guess they only had one bed or some shit. So, the white Myra checking them in, she was looking at him right then, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He ain't shit. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. They get to the bedroom, young. He freak out again, have another motherfucking fit. Go to the front desk, young, to call his fucking mistress and talk to her goddamn voicemail, young. Come back to the room. And lay on the damn floor in a fetal position, young. I was like, mm-hmm. He done checked off every bitch nigga mm-hmm. Check mark, mm-hmm. checklist, mm-hmm. known to man, young. Mm-hmm. And this episode, what, 3?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nah, bro, like.
Tone,
they gotta be setting something up here for him to, like, you know, redeem himself because.
He got to.
It can't get much lower than here, young. Like, either that or just kill him next episode.
Yeah. Nah, they set it up for him to come back and be the hero. Some way, they got.
We'll see, Kenny.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Oh, it's bad, young.
He gonna have to be like motherfucking John Wick or Mr. Nobody or something. You know?
It's bad.
I mean, to counteract what's been happening.
Yeah,
it's gonna have to be mm-hmm. a complete turnaround. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for this shit, for anybody to have an ounce of, like, you know, sympathy for him, compassion for him, like, some shit going to have to come out with, like, his wife cheated first and shit, and then he knew about it or something, or she's going to be so fucking evil, and he's going to have to, like, do something for the kids that she's not going to want to hear because she's still, you know, heartbroken or whatever. Like, man, it's going to be a lot of shit happening before Tom Cruise come and save them from them aliens for him to redeem himself, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm a watch. That's the story. I got right questions, there, but you know, I'm just gonna watch this shit. I'm just gonna watch it. You know? There's one thing that the War of the Worlds did, the Tom Cruise joint.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that movie did, it like made me appreciate how fast they got to the lasers. Like, I just want to see people getting fucked up, you know, and just people like panicking and like this is the end of the world and how the fuck we going to survive? Get to that point. Because yeah. From what I understand, I didn't watch the TV show that came out like, it was like about a year ago, 2 years ago. People was like, yeah, it was way too slow paced and like, you didn't really get the feeling that like, this is like the end of the world. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There was a show on TNT about 7-8 years ago with Noah, what's his name? And they drew it out way too long with them fucking aliens and shit. You know, I'm hoping this ain't like that, but this joint got a way bigger budget. And it seemed like they way more invested to make this shit, you know, this shit stick, whatever, man. So, yeah, man.
Okay.
Enjoying it so far, even though we've only seen, like, the leg of an alien ship so far. And I'm like, you know, I am ready for some damn lasers and some motherfucking eight-legged creatures to come down and start poking niggas in the chest, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, you know, storylines are cool, but, you know, that's what we're
here for. That's what we're here for, yeah, right.
It's called Invasion. Come on now.
Yep.
Yeah, so, we'll see if, And these bitch-ass niggas go up to them ships when they finally start landing and say, look, man, I'm with y'all. I don't know what the fuck they talking about, but, you know, surely we can work something out here.
Right.
What else you got, Bob? That's pretty much all I got.
So we on TV? Shit. What am I watching? I'm watching. So did we talk about the morning show?
Oh, I just said Corey is still a terrible person, yeah. But
oh, that's who he was referring to?
Yeah,
man. Yeah, he about to ruin their relationship. So that's gonna be good. Between Julianne Margulies and Reese Witherspoon, yeah. So, he already angling to ruin that by bringing her, when he brought her on to the morning show to step in for Jennifer Aniston while she going through her motherfucking campaign to put out this fire, you know. She was having a backache, but really she just mad like Shorty released that book. Yeah, she, you know, her back was hurting, but really it's about that book coming out now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. She don't want to show her face. And I liked the black producer getting into it with the other producer. Like, she tired of him, you know. Cause he's trying to act like he ain't do nothing that whole time, you know.
Yeah, but he was trying to protect the person he produced for and the white lady, young. So I get what she said, young. But that was kind of like just like she's like, I'm tired of you. What she say? I'm tired of you, white do nothing, some shit, young. And I was like, but he wasn't even doing that for himself, young. He was trying to do it for something else, but. You know, you were fucking collateral damage, like, so I get both of y'all points. I think they do a good job on this show, like, showing how everybody is, like, not necessarily selfless or whatever, but they are hurting each other though.
Right. Hey, that chick who was house sitting for Jennifer Aniston got in his ass too, yeah. That shit was stupid. Yeah. She was having a meltdown, yeah. He was like, look, I can't be bothered, yeah. I fuck with the way he left it, yeah. He was just like, I could say something back, but you obviously crazy. And yeah. I'ma just dip.
Yeah. Cause she was acting like she ain't know what the deal was. Like, this bitch like is a fucking anchor on a fucking morning show. Ain't nobody can find her. You don't understand why we losing our shit.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that actor's name, but that was a funny ass scene, man. She went the fuck off. But yeah, so I'm fucking with that.
Hold on, one more thing. Like I was saying last week, when I went through the first like season, especially, I was doing a lot of long walks, or whatever. So I wasn't actually seeing the scenes, but I was just hearing the dialogue, whatever. But I did catch that shit at Jennifer Aniston's at her apartment when she had that fucking that party or whatever. And I first caught the vibe there, but I didn't know if they like made it apparent on the show like that the black dude was gay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I didn't know, but I just caught the interaction between him and the other dude. And I was like, oh, are they trying to, like, you know, plant the seed that he gay or whatever? Or was that just a known thing, man?
I can't remember thinking he wasn't. Yeah. Like, since I've been watching this show. So, yeah, that wasn't a big reveal or nothing.
And see what did when he did that fucking Broadway singing. That was the dumbest shot. Like, boy, they just had the Mad Men it up, didn't they? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He needed to be put out of his misery. Huh?
Tony,
of all the miserable characters on this show, he might be the most unhappy person on this show. Yeah.
Hey, Young. He can go work for Byron, yeah.
He could. Nigga, if Byron do a cameo, yeah, I would love it. But yeah, man, so definitely into that. So I watched Insecure, the premiere this week. Big thing out of that one was Lawrence and Issa broke up again. Yeah, we'll see what happens for the rest of the season, man. But as of right now, they broken up.
I thought they'd been broke up, man.
No, man, they were back together as of the finale of last year. But he found out he was having a baby with his previous girlfriend, who he had just broken up with. She just told him he was pregnant. I mean, she was pregnant. And yeah, it was like the final scene. He took a call from her and he had to tell Issa. And yeah, that was like where they left it last year. And so this year opens with them taking a road trip to Northern Cali, to Stanford, which is her alma mater in real life, but also the character's alma mater, her and Molly, her best friend on the show. So they go back to Stanford for a, I guess it's a class reunion. Yeah, she has some time away from Lawrence and, you know, she thinks about things, I guess, experiences, you know, some time away with her friends and stuff and kind of getting a feel for what her life would be without him. So yeah, she just gets back. He picks her up. And they have a short conversation and she's just like, I don't think I can do it. Like, you got a baby coming, nigga. She don't say that, but she just says, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, she just basically says, I just can't. So yeah, man. Completely normal reaction, but we will see how it works out, you know. Cause what I've gathered from the season promo is she's gonna go back to fucking a rack of other dudes and realize, like, yeah, he's still the one, you know. And I'm sure he'll do the same because he was out there, you know, fucking around too. So we'll see. You know? The fun part is going to be like judging each other's hookups because that's all we be doing on Twitter. And
I see.
Yeah. I know I was partying because them chicks were sights because she was with that bum ass rapper, fake producer Daniel. You know. Like, that was the first one in her stable, you know. I was like, man, Lauren's better than that, you know. So, but yeah. And they tried to turn around and make Lawrence his first hookup without Issa, which was a threesome with two girls. Well, obviously two girls. But one was white, one was Asian. Yeah. You know, them sisters tried to make it bad, like tried to make that a bad thing, you know. Nigga, I was sitting there cooking. I was like, nah, you know. Any guy taking that, you know. Like, off the break? Like, I just broke up and I'm getting offered up, you know. They're like, he a hoe. Like, that's disgusting. I'm like, look, man. Nobody trying to hear all them fucking rules you talking about. Fuck out of here, you know. Like, he's smashing, you know. He getting his motherfucking swagger back. He got him a new job. And chick's offering up pussy. You're like, y'all are crazy, you know. So, it's just funny how, you know, the motherfucking gender wars, you know, they try to make each other's situation seem bad, you know. Then he hooked up with that bank teller, you know, and yeah. I saw some girls calling her a step down from Issa, you know. And I was like, how? Exactly. At that point, Issa was like, she was still doing like social work and shit. Like, what's wrong with a bank teller? Like, y'all got a lot of nerve, you know. So anyway, that's going to be a fun 8 weeks, you know. So the next couple of months are going to be pretty good. And the other joint I'm watching is Foundation. interesting show, you know. But it's a lot of galaxy brain talking in this joint, you know. If I hear motherfucking Dr. Harry Seldon name one more time, you know. Dr. Seldon said this. Dr. Seldon said that. I was like, so what?
Nope.
Gotta follow that plan, you know. Damn, they getting on my nerves, you know. So, yeah. So, anyway, I guess the best way I can describe that is like, the fate of the universe is, hangs in the balance and depends on the execution of this plan by the greatest mathematician to ever live. He predicts like the fall of civilization as just different factions with their own agendas try to make a grab for power against the empire, which is led by three clones. The main leader is called Day, and then the second in command is called Dusk, and the third is Dawn. So basically, it's a middle-aged man, an elderly man, and a boy. So Day, middle-aged, Dusk, elderly, Dawn is a boy. So yeah, and all three are maniacs because they're all the same person. And they can't just make a good decision, you know. So the last episode I watched, Dawn thought Dusk was fucking up. And because he made the decision after some rebels, I guess, they blew up. See, this is what I'm talking about, but like that talking. They making me talk, you know, because it's so much plot involved, you know. It's so much plot involved in this, you know. So these.
So you said this shit is next level talking, you know?
Yeah. It's so much backstory, and then they go ahead to the future, you know? I'm like, God damn, I gotta pay attention. And you know, y'all know I hate paying attention, you know, because I'm doing like 8 things at once. I be sitting here following scores and shit, reading Twitter. I look up, I'm like, they in the future? Like, god damn, let me rewind. So, yeah, man. The big event within the first couple of episodes, they blow up this shit called a space bridge, which was the life's work of, like, the first emperor, who all of the other subsequent clones come from. And it was, you know, his dream just to, that was his way of welcoming different beings to, I guess, this planet. And so they would land on the space bridge and then come down to this planet or whatever. So basically it's a big ass parking lot in the sky. You know? And yeah, man, these rebels blew that shit up. And that big ass space bridge fell out the sky, you know, fell out of orbit, dog. That was some good special effects, you know. I was like, I don't know how much money they spent on this shit, you know, but that cost a lot of money.
Man, Apple dropping them bags, you know.
Man, yeah. All I know is that shit looked movie worthy, you know. I said, this is a TV show. I said, that's a big scene, you know. That looked like some shit from Avengers.
Dog, I be seeing shit like, well, based on all these fucking shows being so good, you know, I might have to go back and watch this motherfucking C-Jone with Jason Momoa, you know, but I just can't give the fucking premise that they can't see, but they be fighting, you know, like, what? I just don't understand, you know. But anyway, you know, like, I saw some action sequence from the second season, I was like, Some good fighting here, young. Looks movie worthy, young.
Yeah, these motherfuckers streaming wars are giving us some good content, you know.
Nigga, what?
Yeah, I know them execs be scared of shit for their jobs because you know all the content creators go to all of them.
Yep.
So if you pass on, you know it's a motherfucker at Hulu who probably just got fired for not putting them squids on, you know? They probably laughed them squids out the room, you know?
Yep.
Somebody at Apple got fired. Like, when you ain't bring us them squids? Like, that shit's past you. It was on your desk, Jerry. Jerry, like, man, it's fucking Korean, and they talking about Squid Games, you know? It don't make sense. Yeah. They like, well,
and they like,
get out.
They like, yeah, Korean, there's 8 billion motherfuckers over there. How could you fuck this up, Jerry?
Hey, no. Yeah. That's a stressful job, you know.
They pass on them young squids, but they get a green light to that young Larry, you know? After 10 minutes, you know, like, hey, we want to do this show. You know?
Hey, dog.
Yeah, I don't need any notes. No, I'm serious.
Don't get me started on Young Larry.
Hey, young. Arguably, the most I cooked off that fucking show was her headshot, young. Nigga, she was in the kitchen stirring up some motherfucking goulash, young. And she turned and smiled, young. I said, my nigga, dog. I said, thank God I wasn't drinking or eating nothing like that, young. She was smiling, young. She had that white outline, young. That name. And that times at the bottom, young. I said, nah, bro.
Yeah.
This show ain't fair.
This show ain't fair at all, you know. Ain't nothing fair about it, you know.
All right, dog. I'm getting shut down, young.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I don't want to get sidetracked, but that audition was yeah. It was a goddamn tire fire, you know?
Everybody was like, ew. No, can it end now?
Man, kudos to that actress, you know?
Yeah, she good, nigga. Yeah.
She's a performer, you know?
Yeah.
She's not self-conscious about nothing, you know?
Nothing.
She's like, how stupid... Like, she probably went to the director like, how stupid do you need me to act?
Hey,
like, just tell me what... Is it too big? Tell me if I'm going too big, because I'm about to really act dumb, they probably had to reel her back in a couple of takes, you know, because she was giving it up, you know. That dance, you know, nigga. Oots, 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 oots. Hey, that's what I'm saying, you know. And that's the light version we got. I'm telling you, I know she went
there,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is amazing how you could be in a room for people who don't fuck with you, and nigga, she must have went to like the Juilliard or Cuban being schools, you know. She was like, nope. This, she was like, it was good. You should have seen it, you know.
Oh my God, you know. Yeah. Gotta keep an eye out for her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's talent right there, you know.
Yep. Didn't mean to sidetrack y'all, but yeah, I saw opening, so yeah.
Yeah, oh, nah, yeah.
Good job,
man. I appreciate it. But yeah, man, Foundation, pretty good. We'll recommend, but brace yourselves. Pay attention. Because yeah. You're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Main character is played by three motherfuckers. The Emperor. Well, it's three of them, but it's one actor each. But the main character is a girl. I forget the character's name, as I do with every show I watch. But yeah, present, future, past, and now the goddamn present is gonna meet up with the future one, from my understanding. Yeah, this complicated, yeah. But I'm trying to pay attention, yeah. I just hope they don't lose me, because I do want to be there for the end. I want to find out if they saved the universe, you know. Or how they saved the universe, because they will.
Just for that very reason, that's why I watched one episode and I was like, nope. Gotta wait till I got time to pay attention to this. And that's the exact reason why I didn't even start Dune yet. You know, like, nope. That is Friday or Saturday. I got a motherfucking dentist appointment on Friday, young. I'm going to come back with my motherfucking mouth all numb. I ain't going to have no choice but to sit here and watch that shit, young. So, that'll be my viewing on Friday or Saturday. And I already know, everybody I watch, like, yeah, it's good, but I fell asleep once. I'm like, yep, that means that's about two sleeps for me, minimum, young.
Hey, should we talk about Dune, young? Did y'all watch it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
I'm saving it for Friday, young. I have to go to the
dentist. I just want to make sure I'm clear. I'm good to go. Ain't no distractions. Because it's one of them, like, you got to focus. You got to focus on it, you know. So
I tried, yeah. I look forward to y'all take on it. Because, yeah, yeah. Intravenous NyQuil, yeah.
Cool.
I get it.
All
right. All right, I guess to wrap up Sci-fi, you see the bread last night, Sam?
I was halfway through this episode before I had to head out on my walk, you know. My second walk today, you know. Had to get them steps. But, pretty good, you know. I just saw what the girl told the psychologist. Shorty kidnapped her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I left off, you know.
So, you ain't see all the motherfucking Bubba Ducks, did you?
Nah.
Yeah, so, apparently more motherfuckers than fell through that motherfucking hole in the sky, young, from present day, and they had their dress, young, so, yeah, man, they all dressed like motherfucking Bubba Duck from DuckTales, young. They got them big-ass furs on, young. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So,
Bubba Ducks.
Hey, so, yep, that's good. And apparently that hole's gonna close in the next couple of days, young. So they ain't got as much time as they thought, like trying to figure out all these motherfucking equations, young. They like, nope, they gonna have to motherfucking fly through that hole and pray for the best, young. So I think the next the preview for the next joint, it's like they drop a big ass motherfucker a big ass bubble wrap iPad, young, with a dude like you gotta do this, y'all, cause we ain't got much time left.
His FaceTime was big as shit on that motherfucking screen, young. Trying to plead with them, young.
Yeah, so. Yeah, man. Like you said, dog. These, well, is that on NBC or is that streaming? I think that's actually on NBC.
No, that comes on the actual network. But I watched it on Peacock.
Yeah, man. It's a good season for good dumb sci-fi, yeah. You
know? Oh, for sure. Yep.
All right. You guys had anything else about Curb, Young? I guess the season's going to be... what about... I guess this TV show, huh?
It seems that way, yeah.
Yeah, it's like... They work with the fucking producers and shit, so I guess they found a TV version of this shit to work around.
Yeah. Is the, you know, one of those things in this episode we talked about in the past, where it's not Larry's fault. It's not Larry's fault that he want to get paid back, you know?
Not his fault he want to get paid back, and it's not his fault that she plopped on that motherfucking couch, huh?
Yeah. And Susie always, like, she seemed like a plopper anyway. So, yeah, you know. Yeah, not his fault, you know? And Lucy Liu, come on, you know? Like, all right, man. Like, you know that sometimes people just might just walk into a motherfucking glass fucking door and shit, like...
Basically,
you know, you're not wrong, but young JB brought up a good point, young. Like, yeah, though, when the motherfucking pigeons hit the motherfucking the glass, young, they probably get bushed too, young. Like, nah, that ain't it, young. Yeah. You can't lead the flock anymore, young.
Man, y'all know I went to a wedding where the bride and the groom walked into a goddamn glass door, young.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they was like, you know, like running out towards like the car or whatever. And that shit broke, you know.
Damn.
Bruh, they followed it, you know.
I came upstairs. I didn't see this happen. I just came upstairs and I saw them on the ground. And I saw the glass. Nigga. They had to go to the hospital and shit. I said, well, damn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, baby, you ready to go? Because mm-hmm. I honestly did not give a fuck. They was her friends. So. Mm-hmm.
See,
and we, like, this was early in our relationship. I was like, look, I can't be around these goofy ass people.
Yeah, it's a theme going on here. Kenny, have you noticed it, young?
What I'm doing wrong now, you know.
Sam don't be befriending people very much, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It costs him out not being his friend real quick, you know, when they doing something wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. Not that I would disagree with you in this case, you know, but I would just want to know, like, somebody, like, they didn't run into the glass together, you know. Somebody was leading, you know, and... If my wife led me, young, like, yeah.
They were holding hands. That's what I heard. I mean, both of them was on the ground. So I'm figuring, like, it was at the same time.
Mm-mm. It's never at the same time, young. Somebody's always...
somebody I don't know who faced it first. Like I said, I wasn't there. Like, I was coming up the stairs from, the, like, the reception area. And I saw that shit, man. I said, man, that looked bad, you know. But it ain't gonna stop me from trying to get back to the hotel. Cause I was tired. I ate up their food. I was ready to lay down, you know. Man. Can't be standing like there dancing, caring. You know?
It's like dancing. Somebody's always leading, you know. I just be curious, you know.
Yeah. It was just, I did feel bad. Like, they spent that wedding night at the hospital. I was like, man, that shit is weird. Off to a flying start. Of course, they got divorced, but I mean.
Yeah, because somebody got blamed for that shit, you know?
Probably. It's
the wrong way to start a union, you know?
Or, she ran up a lot of credit card bills. Mm. And he got tired of it, so.
Wait, what?
finances. They divorced over finances.
I thought that was you putting us on mute, Young. I said, you gonna walk off like that, Young? Nah, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. He was making good money. She wasn't, you know. Man finally gathered up some self-esteem and was like, look, you already made me run into the goddamn glass.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make me mm-hmm. run into the glass of life following your goofy ass. Mm-hmm.
Was it open bar?
Mm-hmm. It was nice. It was nice.
Did they have, was it chicken, beef, and shellfish in?
I honestly don't remember that.
Okay.
I'm sure my black ass had chicken, whatever was being served, you know. Because I get chicken at every wedding, you know. Man, I was about to say, I don't eat just anybody fish, you know. That joke is going to sound funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
I don't just pop up at a place eating fish, you know. That's wild to me, you know.
It's like potato salad, you know, and coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, so Curb was good. Off to a good start, you know. Like, that show just fucking make me giggle, you know.
Yeah, it's real. Like, it's stupid, you know. Like, that dude got a real gift for the absurd, you know.
Yeah.
And social awkwardness, you know. Just being in a fucked up position, you know.
Yeah. Man. Kenny done ruined that show for me, too, you know. Well, not ruined it, but, yeah, man. I wait for Susie to hit that motherfucking Lyra every episode now. Yeah, she hit this week,
yeah.
What's up? She hit this week, huh? Yeah. I was like, come on now. Y'all sit on the couch, you know, hanging out. Lob a Lyra out there, you know?
It's kind of like lie.
Lie.
Hey, lie. Like,
how can you fucking curse them out every week and then they be sitting on your motherfucking couch?
Right.
You know, 30 minutes later, Young, and y'all were fucking, you know, having wine and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you hopped on when Bob and I were pre-production, Young. He was worried about, he was asking about JB Hairline. I was like, nah, dog. That motherfucker had like a Crown Royal commercial in the last year or two. We had that shit, that motherfucker spray on hormone and shit on top of his head. You know? Mm-hmm. That's his thing, young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he going full Doc Rivers, young.
Yeah. He don't even need it, young. He was cool with the baldy, young.
Right. Getting that live money, young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He look crazy, young.
All right. Guess that's TV, unless you guys have anything else.
I think Wu-Tang wrapped up their final episode today.
I ain't watched yet, so.
Yeah, it's episode 10. I think it gave off the feeling that this is the last episode of the season, so.
Oh, that's what I was about to say, the last episode, period, you know, but it's going to be a season 3, right?
Yeah.
That sounds all right, because I think I saw my YouTube feed, I think RZA was on Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably wrapped up the season and shit.
Hey, that was about 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe it wasn't the Breakfast Club, because I saw, unless they popped it back up today on the YouTube feed, because mm-hmm. it was last episode. I don't know. I'll check it out. All right. Yeah, that's about it for TV. All right, I don't have a headline sites or a classy award. So what? Got any outrage?
Oh, damn, I thought I was on mute.
I got some sizzling, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, sure. I know he ain't been here, you know.
I know, yeah.
Missed you, bro.
All right. Excuse me. White Illinois high school student who listed his black classmate as slave for sale gets off of counseling, probation, and community service. A white Illinois teenager has been disciplined nearly 2 years after he listed his black schoolmate as a slave for sale on the popular selling platform Craigslist. The Naperville Central High School student, who has remained unnamed because he is a juvenile, was hit with 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service by Judge Anthony Coco after entering a guilty plea to two counts of felony hate crime and one count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct, DuPage County State's Attorney Robert P. Berlin said in a press release. Judge Coco also ordered the young man to undergo any counseling that seemed fit. Quote, hate crimes have no place in a civilized society and will not be tolerated regardless of the accused's age, Berlin stated. Studies show that the victims of hate crimes can suffer from depression, increased anxiety, low self-esteem, and insecurity, among other things. He continued, everyone deserves the right to feel safe and welcome in our communities, and my office will continue to charge and prosecute anyone regardless of age who engages in this type of behavior. The ad showed a black student in what appeared to be a cafeteria under the words slave for sale, Naperville, with the caption, hard working, thick nigga, slave for the low. It later went viral. Jesus. Classmates approached the black student offering $1 to buy him. I'll buy you for $1, said one student. The victim's mother, Tamara Wallace, told local news station WLBT at the time that the two boys were once close friends and that this wasn't the first incident involving an unidentified young man. It seemed like in a matter of one post, everything that I've taught my child about his skin color just seemed like it was diminished, she told reporters. Wallace also wanted more to be done. When I heard about it, I thought the police should have been called, she explained. When the police heard about it, they felt like they should have been called. Shortly after the incident, Principal Bill Weebrook sent a letter to parents informing them that the school was aware of a racially insensitive electronic post and worked as quickly as possible to investigate and address this with the students involved. He maintained that the sentiment being displayed is not reflective of NCHS and that they hold students accountable for their behavior, which includes appropriate disciplinary consequences.
Buying slaves, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if people out there paying attention to what's going on in the Virginia governor's race, but Glenn Youngkin, a Republican, is running an ad right now with a mother who wanted to get beloved. Toni Morrison's novel banned from her child's school. And but the ad doesn't mention that this nigga was a teenager. And she's trying to say it's because of the sexual, you know, explicit content, but that ain't got shit to do with it, you know. I suppose that book about slavery, you know.
Right.
And it was based on a true story, by the way. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it was based on something that really happened and shit. So, they just really just want to just erase just any semblance of what really happened to us.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, situations like this is why people like authority figures need to take like swift action. Because it puts black people in a position of like having to decide if it's worth it to fuck somebody up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's not a position I ever want to be in. like I remember we've had this conversation. Like if somebody called me a nigga at work, you know, like, I hope I would just, you know, go to HR. I hope I would have the strength to do that. But it you know, depends on how I'm feeling at the time, yeah. That could be a one punch of reaction, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be over. Both, everybody like, because, you know, I say have the strength because I wouldn't want to do that. I can knock a motherfucker out. They hit their motherfucking head on the floor and die. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't want to react violently. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't want my life to change because this motherfucker's an idiot. So Yeah, man.
Like, and see, but what you just said, you know, like, I don't think it can be said enough, because all too often, you know, I could be on a collie, for example, right? And somebody, you know, start a thread, and it'll be, you know, it could be a white dude, say, for example, spitting on. There was a thread on there, say, about a month ago. This white dude went up to this black dude in his car and went up to him and spit in his face and walked away. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the thread was like, see, that's why they do shit like that, because they know they fucking with niggas like that who won't do nothing. Because if that had been me, I'd have got all five blah, blah. But then, like you say, like, you never know what could happen if you end up, like, reacting that way. Because, like you said, you could punch a motherfucker, because they was outside, like, in a parking lot. And I thought the same thing. Like, I think about that all the time. Like, I understand why people say, if we're going to get, let's go on the grass or whatever. But in situations like that where it's real heated and you just did some shit like that and you get out and you knock this nigga the fuck out and he hit his head on the side of that curb.
I might black out, Kenny. I ain't going to lie. In that situation, I just... But it's
That's never what I'm saying.
I don't want to be in that position, you know?
Right, but that part of it never gets brought up with people like, dog, now, like you said, your whole life has changed. Now you got a motherfucking possible murder charge on your hand, manslaughter, whatever it may be, just because this dude is an asshole.
Yeah. In that situation, I think you might get away with it, because, you know, spitting on somebody, that's assault.
It is.
And if you depending on the state, you know, you defend yourself.
Man.
That's what I'm saying. You don't even want to, I don't even want to fuck around.
I don't want to know, you know.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you still a nigga that just killed a white dude.
No, you know. You might get a motherfucking judge and be like, look, it was just some spit. Or a jury. And I was like, it's just some spit. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, yeah, man. Spit, like, that's a murderous offense, man.
Right. But they don't see it that way.
And they like, yeah, well, look at his kids. Yeah. Tell them that.
Right.
You know, then you look like the bad guy. Like, right. See, I can't be dealing with all that, you know.
His kids so took just, a Chet and Summer and shit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, you know, white people handle your shit, man. Arrest this motherfucker. If I call the police, if I go to HR, like, this motherfucker did this, you better handle it, you know. Or something bad gonna happen. Either next time somebody try me, another white person try me, I'm gonna be so mad because in the last situation, nothing got done about it. Or they gonna feel emboldened and go to the next black person who is going to fucking kill them, you know. That's why I'm just like, white people need to handle that shit. I've been pretty consistent about that, you know, because I'm the dude. I'm like, look, white people can say nigga all they want. They better prepare for what's coming. You can say it, but be prepared, you know, because you're gonna run into the wrong one. You're gonna get killed, you know. Niggas always talking about, I'll do this and that, like. Are you going to kill them, young? Because there's some niggas who are, young.
Yep.
And you might not mean to kill them. That's why, man, these are things I've thought about deeply. That's why I've come to these opinions. Like, I didn't reach these conclusions lightly about how I would react. Now, following through on, like, this motherfucking plan I've drawn out in my head, you know, that's a whole nother thing, because no white person has come in my face and called me anything. You know? So I don't know how it would be in practice. I don't know if I could be able to put my plan into practice, you know. I would hope so, because I don't want my life to change, you know. I don't want to essentially lose my life and shit. My freedom, because... Yeah, because I couldn't control myself, because this motherfucker is like pulled motherfucking 500 years of rage out of me, you know.
Yeah, I feel you, Doc.
So, yeah, kudos to mom, you know, protecting her child. Yeah, man. Yeah, they better handle that. Because it ain't just that incident. The other black kids going, they going to feel some kind of way, you know. Then you're going to have whole motherfucker. You're going to have some real thick racial tension in the school, you know. Mm-hmm. Get another stupid ass white kid to try something, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, the wrong one, you know. Nope. Hey, man, y'all see that? I think I retweeted it. And I said something about, like, the school to prison pipeline, you know. The black kid who fucked the two white kids up, you know. Mm-mm. So here's the backstory on it, and I'll retweet it so people can see it tomorrow. But a couple of people, you know, they liked the post or whatever, and they retweeted it. So the video picks up. There's a black kid confronting a smaller white student. And the black kid not huge and shit. He ain't no big motherfucker, but he bigger than this little scrawny ass white kid. And he's telling them, he's holding them by his shoulders. And he's
oh, like, he threw that nigga over that table?
Yeah.
I saw that shit.
So the backstory on it, because I read the whole thread.
Yeah, you got to read the whole thing. He was completely justified. Yeah.
Yeah, like he was like, yeah, I was sitting on the toilet. They invaded my privacy. And they were saying that, you know, they was going to fuck my sister and all that. And I caught one of them. You know, after they busted the door open and I had to wipe my ass real quick and chasing them down, he's like, I caught one. And he said, man, just tell me, you know, who the rest of them are. And basically admit that you did it, you know. And he didn't. And he threw his ass. And then his stupid ass friend tried to defend his honor. I found out the kid who pushed him in the back, Kenny, wasn't even a part of the crew that, like, bust the door open in the restaurant.
Right.
Man, I was like, look at you getting all fucked up for nothing.
For nothing.
So, yeah, he beat both of these boys' ass. Like, he did some MMA shit on the kid who pushed him in the back trying to defend the other kid. They did, like, some little bit of groundwork for probably like 30 seconds. And then they got up on their feet and Shorty caught him with a knee to the stomach. And then he caught him with a knee straight to the fucking nose. And he broke his nose and dude was just leaking. Youngin was leaking all over the floor. And it looked bad. It looked violent as shit, you know. And I'm like, see? I had to read the backstory to see, like, this kid is completely justified, you know.
That kid, like, he had some training, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He probably wrestled for the school.
Yeah. Or, like, some MMA type shit. Or he look at a lot of MMA because he kicked that kid legs, trying to take his legs off from under him. I was like, yeah. And just, like, his stance and the way he threw that other youngin', I'm like, man.
He wasn't a boxer.
Yeah, he like, ain't no boxer, nah. But, like, hand-to-hand combat, like, this wasn't his first rodeo, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then again, yeah, you never know who you fucking with, so.
I know, young.
Yeah.
I know.
Because youngin' now, he got his move out of state. you can't go back to that school, you know. Somebody just threw your ass over a table, you know.
Yeah, you got fucked up.
Yeah, you got fucked. Then your man can't try to help, man. Yeah, he got fucked up, so yeah, y'all just got to move, you know.
And it's y'all fault.
100%. Fucking with people.
Bother that man while he pooping, you
know.
That's disgusting, you know. Like, see, that's that white boy fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A nigga would never, in my wildest dreams, think it's funny to bust down a bathroom stall while a nigga taking a shit, you know. That's not good. That's white boy fun, you know. They be lunching, you know. So, then he got fucked up. Anyway.
Yeah.
Was that it for the sizzle, you know?
Yeah, that's it for the sizzle.
Okay, so my outrage was it happened this morning and it's not about Chappelle per se. Not about Chappelle per se. But I'm tired of people injecting George Carlin into these arguments about what comedians should be joking about and who they should be joking about. Because generally, George Carlin, he might have an opinion about what a comedian or who, which groups a comedian should joke about, but he would never, ever tell a comedian not to. He's one of them old school comedians, yeah. He wouldn't do that, yeah. So you're already wrong for injecting his name in it anyway. Even in the clip where he's talking about Andrew Dice Clay, he's not saying Dice should not do these particular jokes. He's basically just saying like he should challenge himself more. But if that's what he wants to do and that appeals to his audience, it's whatever. The difference to me is people injecting it in the context of the Chappelle controversy is they're framing it as Chappelle. They keep framing it as Chappelle punching down. And I don't think Carlin would agree with that, because Chappelle's premise is the group he is punching at, the LGBTQ community, their leadership is white people. Period. And he said that in the special. Like he said, I'm talking, if you listen, I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about white people and how they wield power. Even from a victim status, the way they are bending and shaping their power to come at another marginalized group, which is, from Chappelle's perspective again, has been black men lately. Yeah, kind of rubs in the wrong way, you know. And to be clear, I don't agree with him on the baby. Like, the baby fucked up, you know. Now, whether that means like he should have his entire livelihood taken away, that's work he got to do. Like, you know, he got to do the gauntlet, go apologize to some people, try to get a better understanding of how his words hurt people. And, you know, like I said, that's for him. That's for the baby to figure out, you know. But Chappelle shit, in the context of art, you know, and that's what his stand-up is. Nah, man. And like, niggas can come to me and talk about, but it was a white comedian talking about blah, blah, blah. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm consistent. I want anybody to be able to say anything, because I know what's going to happen when you start trying to silence people. And to be clear, what a lot of people have been saying about this shit about, well, they don't want Dave silenced or whatever. They just want to express, like, they think he could do better and, you know, it's hacky. No, I don't believe that. I don't think that's what the conversation is about. I think what people want is for his special to be removed. And what I'm saying, if you are comfortable with that, you are wrong. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are wrong. Because if you think it's going to end there, you're childish. That's a naive way of thinking. And you shouldn't even want that. It never ends with just one thing being taken down, because inevitably someone else is going to say something that another group doesn't like. And you can't just say too bad to the next group that doesn't like what another artist has said, you know. You can't say too bad. Their grievances need to be addressed as well. So, for me, injecting someone into this who has that kind of understanding and spent his career putting out that kind of message about trying to silence art and what it leads to in George Carlin, it's so dishonest, you know, and really distasteful to me. And yeah, I just wanted to say I don't like it.
Sam, the thing is, the people that use that clip to frame whatever argument they want to frame, it's obvious that they aren't really familiar with George Carlin's work.
Oh, because like you said, people who say they don't know him,
yeah,
but so they like him.
They like him, but they like him in bits and pieces. The bits and pieces that they see on Twitter, the quotes that they see attributed to him. But like you said, I just think that if people were more familiar with his art and also who he just was as a person, he would be the last person that I would think would ever be on, I guess, the side of the people who want to see Dave Special removed for a lot of the reasons you just stated. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And also with Dave Special, I thought it was obvious that the theme of it was, like, just white supremacy.
Right.
I thought that it was pretty clear by watching that was the theme of it, but that's obviously not what a lot of people took from it. So, hey, man, whatever you take from it, that's on you. Again, I thought it was pretty clear what this was about, but, yeah, man, agendas, so...
I was gonna let this whole episode pass without really getting into it, because we've kind of touched on it. Like, you haven't been here for this portion of it, but me and Tone kind of talked about it special a little bit, but we ain't even get into all this like we doing now. And I wasn't until this morning with calling, because at this, I was so mad, Kenny, I was about to motherfucking cut up that clip where, I mean, he said, you know, nigga, plenty of times throughout his career. And I was just about to cut a clip where he just says it real hard and post it every time somebody try to use his opinion to to bolster that point. I was just going to put shut up and then put that clip, you know, and show him saying nigga, you know. Yeah. No, that would be the context. Shut up, nigga.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Like, you don't know who he was, you know. And you don't know how, yeah, the disgust that dude would have with how some of these people, like, they take empathy and they weaponize it, you know. Like, I'm a pretty empathetic person, but I am very aware of when people try to use someone's empathy and make them forego all logic. That bothers me. Like, am I empathetic towards the LGBTQ community? Of course I am. Of course I am. And like I've said plenty of times, like, why? And I'm not going to get into all that, because I'm not, you know, I don't need, you know, credit. Like, my life is a testament to that fact that I support that community. I'm just saying, like, and even with those people in my life, I've told them, like, yeah, don't ever, like, assume, like, my empathy is going to make me, you know, overlook the fact that you're wrong in some instances, you know. And you can't fall back on the idea, like, oh, because I'm gay or because I'm trans. I'm that same way with a black person, you know. Like, don't do that, you know. Like, if you fuck up, you just fuck up, you know. So I'm looking at that community and how they're going at Chappelle and trying to weaponize empathy and trying to silence art. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't agree with how the way y'all are going about this show. This is not smart, and you're fanning the flames of this culture war, which is like in full bloom now. Because essentially, like, people like Dave, people like Joe Rogan, and I know niggas don't want to hear that, they are on your side, y'all. You know? They are on your side. And you keep nitpicking about everything someone says that you disagree with. You just widening the gap, you know. You just widening the fucking gap, you know. You going so far left. I just be like, man, people just shooting themselves in the foot. Like, we ain't going to be able to agree on anything. He's going to be president again, y'all. I'm just telling y'all that now, you know.
No shit.
Yeah. I've already started preparing for it, you know, so.
Yeah, man, it's like, yeah, man, not seeing the forest for the trees, man. It's just, it's a bad way to be, you know. Like, everything got to be your way, you know. Language got to be your way. Culture got to be your way. We all have to agree in totality.
Yeah.
That ain't never been the way the world worked. And if y'all keep drawing lines that boldly, I don't know what to tell y'all, you know. I don't know what to tell y'all. It don't work that way. The comedian throughout history is the final defense against a crumbling society, you know. Humorous social commentary. The people who should be off limits for someone calling out some ridiculous bullshit, you know. When we start, like, trying to silence them, yeah. Shit getting real bad, you know. And this, you know, this the best one. So y'all starting at the top, huh?
You said it, man.
Yeah.
I just ain't got that in for it. Like Kenny said, yeah. I'm preparing for 2.5 years from now, yeah. Because it's coming.
Yeah, man. Outside, not on each other's side, man. And it's pretty sad to see, you know. And they partying, you know. They partying, you know. Motherfuckers, that goofy-ass Deadspin article, you know. Nigga said Chappelle is a piece on a white chessboard, you know. That one of their token black writers wrote that, you know.
He said what now?
He said Dave Chappelle is a chess piece on a white chessboard, you know.
Oh my God!
And of course, all the white liberals applauding. All of them applauding, yeah. Like, yeah, get them, boy, get them. I'm like, who the fuck is this nobody offering this lame ass critique of Dave Chappelle? You know.
Hold on, let me look this this shit up.
I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is, Sean. But that's the point. He's trying to be someone.
Didn't the shit start? What was it, The Root? Hit that straight black men or the white people or black people, and just fucking snowballed into what we have now and shit, young. Where, like you said, if people just don't agree with you, young, like, oh, you toxic now. Cancel him.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, Kawhi it's done Phillips. With. Yeah, he's the blackity black writer at Deadspin now. Yeah, okay. I figured it was
good.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good for him. But yeah, Tom. I mean, in a generation, like that's why I've been like pretty firm in opposing that, because I strongly believe in a generation. Like all these tweets and shit. Yeah, you know, they on people's permanent record, you know. And in a generation, like these people who were in that gang, who were siding with idiots, who just said weird shit like, you know, yeah, black men ain't nothing but motherfucking, what they say? Like weird shit like bullet bags or some shit. Like chicks be saying shit like that. We the weakest link. Y'all ain't nothing but bullet bags. And these niggas be agreeing with chicks like that, you know. And I just be looking like, yeah, when black kids who are babies now, like my kids, when they're like in their early 20s and they're looking at this phenomenon we got now, we're like, I guess the elite of black Twitter, like say weird shit like that and agree with that kind of sentiment or that kind of tone, like putting shit like that out in the world. When these kids see that shit, they gonna judge y'all. Because culture it's not static. People's minds change. This kind of shit, you demonizing black men, okay. You're gonna be on the wrong side. That's basically what I'm saying, you know. And I don't wanna hear no excuse. It ain't even what I want to hear. Kids aren't going to want to hear any excuses about why you said it or the climate at the time or what you were trying to support. Nobody want to hear that shit. When you aligning yourself with language like black men are bullet bags, black men are the wink link, you've aligned yourself with that kind of language. Ain't no going back from it. Ain't no fucking going back from it. It's too late now.
And that's just if it takes that long, because when you support this lunacy, what people don't understand is you one fucking wrong comment on the wrong side of a fucking argument that you might not even be aware of.
Right.
From being that person, from getting that label, from getting canceled.
Oh, yeah. You be the next motherfucker like, to tweet.
So I'm like, you know. So I'm like, yeah, man, like, you know, fuck not throwing stones in the glass house, young. Like, don't take a step outside your door out without stepping on a motherfucking crack, young. Because that's it. You are one misstep unintentionally from being that same person in everyone's eyes. And then them please you cop, young, that you ain't want to accept from anybody else. Deaf ears. And then it's too late. And then that person who feels good about doing that shit to you, it's going to happen to them too.
Right. And it's like every step of the way when people warn us about this type of behavior, it's like all I get back from people, you know, who think it's okay is, well, don't fuck up. Well, that's not a real response. That's not reasonable. Everybody fucks up. Everyone has a misstep. It seems to me, this is just what I've noticed, is that they're aware that this isn't reasonable and that's not sustainable, like the idea of just don't fuck up. It seems to me when someone who is, I guess, highly favored fucks up, it's swept under the rug. Or it's like, why y'all tripping? And it's like, but no, this person just culturally appropriated this thing. Why y'all ain't talking about it the same way? And they just like, nigga, you tripping. Just move on. And you just like, okay. All right.
That just goes to show how inauthentic it is. You know, like, when you can just let it go that quickly, like, how much were you really invested in this shit in the first place? You know? Or were you just chasing the next motherfucking train wreck, you know?
I'm just generally opposed to pylons anyway. Whenever I see a pylon, like a person getting like dumped on you, if y'all notice, I don't really participate in it, you know? Like, even if the person is dead wrong, you know, I'd be like, man, all right, you know, they fucked up. Like, I'm just, yeah. get my joke off or whatever, or say my comment, and I leave it alone, because 90% of the time, that person's intent wasn't to, like, harm anybody or to fuck up, like, that bad as it's being blown up, you know?
Right.
So it's just like, what am I going to add? What can I add, you know, by, like, piling on to this shit? So I just leave it alone.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to a pylon, but moreover, my whole thing is always, what was the intent? Did somebody fuck up and just misspeak? Or did they do something by mistake, not knowing that they were offending people? Or was it just, like, mild fucking intent or whatever? Or were they really looking to, like, you know, fuck somebody's life up? You know, like, I'm always about the intent more than anything, you know? And people are like, nope, we just want to catch you on a technicality so we can party and ruin your life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me. Like, you know, you have people like that, but now it seems like these motherfuckers, like, have a group where every morning they wake up trying to find that next person to ruin their fucking life. It doesn't matter what the intent was. They can be a murderer or somebody who said the wrong thing at the fucking grocery store because somebody's, you know, cut in front of them in line and shit, you know?
Hey, you know, the poster child for that
same
shit.
Same villain.
The poster child for that shit is Chrissy Teigen, you know? And you know what's wild? I don't even remember how she got there, you know? I forgot what she did to be, like, canceled, but she did something, you know, and I was just like,
they brought
that happened fast.
They brought them old tweets of her shaming somebody, I guess, who was, like, overweight or some shit like that.
You're probably right, but I thought it was more than that, yeah.
It may have been. But
it was a few things, you know, and I was just like, and she's so pressed. Like, she was so, like, into being, you know, a part of that crowd. Yeah, she been crying and shit and writing motherfucking long-ass letters. Like, I ain't read none of them, but I think she posted a link to a letter she wrote or something. And I said, man, I ain't reading that shit. Like, Chrissy, like, you rich, you got beautiful kids, you know, husband, so for some reason, love the fuck out you. Why do you care about these people, you know?
Yeah, writing a whole manifesto about why you're getting off Twitter. Or you could just do it like Ta-Nehisi did, like, this ain't my jam. I'm out, you know? Right. That was the last you heard that nigga, you know?
Yep. Because it's not cool, you know?
But some people, like, that, they just,
they just starve for this fucking attention, young. It's insane to me, young, that grown ass people like these motherfuckers got, like you said, got kids and families, young, and they acting like this.
Yeah.
I should have been a therapist, young, because I know that these motherfuckers be going to therapy, young, to deal with this shit, dog.
The thing is, man, like, this shit is so new, man. It's so new, and, like, the main thing I notice about it is people don't talk this way in real life, you know. People aren't this confrontational in real life. So it's like, it's all this fucking anger coming out of people. They want to be angry at someone about something. So some people could genuinely be upset about the state of the world, how, you know, gay people are treated, how black people are treated, how women are treated. Those are valid things. You should be upset about those things. But yeah, like the way y'all direct that shit as someone who has the slightest fuck up is not healthy. It don't allow for any grace, yeah. People can't come back from that shit, man. Unless y'all want them to.
Yeah.
The chosen few.
Well, I'm thinking of a bar like, there needs to be a clinical, like, diagnosis of social media outrage passive aggression. That should be the fucking term for these people, young. Social media outrage passive aggression, young. Because, like you said, they don't act this way in real life, young. Unless enough of them get together.
Right, but that's, yeah, that.
Based on their outrage, yeah, which stems from their social media fucking profile, young.
Yeah. The dynamics aren't the same in real life. Can you imagine if we all go out to eat together and one of us says like an off-color joke, something that could be perceived as sexist, and spontaneously everyone in the restaurants gets mad at us, young? That's what happens on Twitter, you know. That's what happens on social media. That's the part of it when people say, when like Chappelle says that shit ain't real life, that's what he means. For me, I think it's real life because people's anger and their opinions are real. Like that's what they really feel, but they would never express them in real life. That's the disconnect of it. So the feelings are real. But the expression of thought, that's not real. Because people don't act like that in real life. An entire restaurant would not gang up on a person because of what they said, you know.
Yet.
I mean, it's...
That's the scary part.
Like, I'm not talking about a motherfucker who walk into a restaurant and don't wear a mask and make a whole motherfucking commotion and then the whole restaurant gang up on them. I'm not talking about like that. I'm just talking about what someone says, you know. And someone overhears it, and then the whole goddamn restaurant gangs up on the person and tells them they ain't shit. That don't happen, you know. It don't happen.
It don't, Sam, but I'm not confident enough to say that in the wrong situation, young, somewhere in the future, young, we can get to that point, young, because people are becoming more and more comfortable with becoming outraged about anything and everything. And if you're not standing on the sideline with them, young, you are considered against them. And then you the problem, too. Like, we getting dangerously to the fucking edge of the fucking cliff, young, where everybody's going to jump like lemmings, young. Because it's the thing to do, young.
Yeah. You're right. That's part of my fear. But, yeah, that doesn't have to happen in real life. The real world effects of people, like, siding with each other, regardless of, you know, whether they're right or wrong,
Yeah.
That can be confined to social media and it can still have real world impact because, you know, that can be represented in the polls and who people elect or don't elect or refuse to vote for. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying.
I'm past the point of giving people the benefit of the doubt of, oh yeah, this can't happen, young. It might not be happening right now, young, but I'm not confident that anything is impossible anymore, young. Because I see crazy shit every day, and I'm becoming desensitized to it. Oh yeah, they did that. That surprised me, young.
Yeah,
five years ago, it probably would have. Yeah. 10 years ago, it definitely would have.
I think something you said not too long ago, if we could identify each other, you know, more easily out in public about whether we agree or not on certain things, that's going to send it over the top. So yeah. I don't know whether it's like, you know, clothing that's more like, you know, interactive and shit, like that Google Glass ain't take off. So, yeah. I don't know how tapped in people could be where like their ideology is represented in their, you know, how they present other than like race, you know, for, like you can take shortcuts and shit. Like you look at a black person, you automatically assume certain things about their belief system or a white person who looks a certain way, you know, whether they be, you know, queer or, you know, just a real like funky looking white, young white person, you just assume they're liberal or whatever. Like you can take those kind of social like cues and use them as shortcuts, but like to really identify just a regular person and where they fall, you know, in line with your personal belief system and how you view the world. Like we ain't there yet. You know?
Yeah. Well, the Google shit ain't take off, but the Apple joints are in production right now. You know?
Yeah. For better or worse, you know, Trump made it pretty easy, for the last 3-4 years with that stupid ass hat. So that was something where you could identify a person and be like, oh, he's a piece of shit or she's a piece of shit. Like I need to avoid that person or I need to confront that person or we all need to confront this person out in public. And that happened like that for better or worse, that happened because, you know, that person was wearing something where they were easily identifiable. But yeah, for what you're saying, I think we're way away from that because, you know, we got to be able to, you know, have that visual like marker where we could easily like say, oh, yeah, I fucks with them or I don't fuck with them. Like, let's gang up on them. Because as long as people minding their business, like, you ain't going to just go up to nobody and start fucking with them like. You know, we ain't motherfucking gangbangers. Like, what set you claim, nigga? I want to fight.
Yeah, well, the transition from here, speaking about people not mind their business, Sean. Yeah. What is round 15 with Boosie Young?
Hey, do you know how bad, like, I wanted Lil Nas X's dad to fuck Bootsy up, you know? I was like, that could be a final, that'd be a great final episode to this stupid-ass long-running comedy series. Because I'm tired of it at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Because Lil Nas X is just, he gonna stay on comedy. But yep. Bootsy would understand an ass-whooping. And he done already been talked to by a number of people. Like Charlamagne tried, Mike Tyson tried. I think, I'm probably confusing Mike Tyson episodes, but I thought Freddie Gibbs tried, you know. Look, man.
When Gibbs the voice of reason, you know,
nigga, what?
He not listening, you
know? Right. Yeah, because Gibbs pretty cool, you know. Even though, you know, he's a nigga's nigga, you know. Like I said, I fucks with Freddie. Don't fuck with his music, you know. But that's a cool ass dude, you know. From what the little I know about him. But he seemed to be a cool ass dude, and like he fucks with all the gay kids, you know. He fucks with my youngin, the young who was a little like social media influencer. It's Jay something.
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but he make all them good funny faces, and then he became like a producer.
I about to call him Farrell, but yeah, it's Jay something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he fuck with Tyler, fake gay ass. Tyler's so phony. Yeah.
Jay Versace. Yeah.
Yeah, Jay Versace. Yeah, youngin is hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
Man, when I found out he was the youngin who behind the meme where he was listening to the music where the image is blurry, you know.
Yeah. And
he the youngin who was crying. I said, this youngin be making some good ass faces, you know. So yeah, his latest good one is when people always post this how I'm eating and not paying attention to y'all, you know. He be fucking that food up, you know. But yeah, he's hilarious. But yeah, Freddie fucks with all these kids, you know. Like, so he definitely don't care. So I thought he said something to Boosie too, but yeah, man, it just needs to end, you know. I'm tired of the back and forth. You know, it's probably not fair to say, but I'm tired of Lil Nas X responding to him or trolling him. Like, I'm tired of it, you know. Because it's not his fault. Like, Boosie the one with the problem, but I'm like, damn, like, I wish you would just stop. It's like, it's beneath you to keep responding to this fucked up looking nigga, you know.
But it's not, because he a young, hot-ass nigga, young.
Yeah, it's true.
And all young, hot-ass niggas, that's the way they fucking get their shit off, young. They be on their phones, but then Boosie, a old hot-ass nigga who missed, like, fucking 5 years on the phone, so that's all he know now, young.
Right.
He be sitting on his big-ass motherfucking 5-acre property on his phone getting mad as shit, young. So I'm like, who's worse? The old nigga who won't put the phone down, or young nigga who won't put the phone down? The old nigga.
Yeah.
You know life without the fucking phone, nigga. Put it down.
Yep. I mean, look. The only reason why I haven't muted both of them or blocked both of them is because of you, you know. I just didn't, you know, sometimes I just don't know whether you care or not. But it'd be people I'd be wanting to block and shit, you know.
Same. Feel free, young. I don't really be on Twitter like that, you know.
Hey,
young.
Like,
feel free, dog.
Man, you know, I just found out that, that nigga, that Dragonfly Jones, young, he got into it with KD, young. So I tried to go to the thread and read what happened, young. You know that nigga got us blocked, young. And I,
for real?
Nigga, I said, what we do? And then I remembered. I blocked his ass, young.
For real?
Mm-hmm. And I forgot what it was about, but I remember blocking his ass, young. He said something I ain't like. And I said, you know what? I ain't reading this stupid shit. So I think he probably saw one of our tweets probably went viral or whatever. And he's like, ooh, let me go read this. And like, what everybody talking about? And he went, and yeah, he was like, oh, these niggas blocked me. Fuck him. Fuck them. Blocked us back, you know. Oh well, I know.
Like, that's all this should ever be, young.
Yeah,
like,
young.
All like, that other shit, dog.
Like I keep saying, young, it's high school, young. Nigga, yeah. Nigga ain't fuck with me in high school. All right, man. Shit, bye. I ain't mad.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out when him and Katie got into it about?
Yeah, it was the top 75 joint, and Kyrie wasn't on it, and KD misinterpreted something he said. Dragonfly Jones said something like, you know, because I had to log out, you know. Or I had to switch to my Duke Hater account. And he said something like, yeah, man, people love Kyrie game. He was like, but hoopers really love Kyrie game. And KD said something like, because you are casual. And Dragon Y Jones was like, nigga, I was complimenting him. He was like, but I'm a vaccinated casual. And yeah, so they was partying about that, you know. So people were saying he got KD. Like, he beat KD at his own game, because usually KD be the one frying people on Twitter. Because KD didn't respond after that, you know. Because he was wrong, first of all. And then, yeah, he burned him on the vax joke, you know.
Got it.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with him blocking us. Because, like I said, it wasn't even like I followed him so closely that I knew I was blocked, you know. I could have gone, like, for the rest of my life without knowing I was blocked by Dragonfly Jones, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have been none the wiser. Mm-hmm. I do not wake up thinking, like, what's Dragonfly Jones mm-hmm. tweeting about? Mm-hmm. Now, I care about Lil Duval, because I want to see that tweet every morning. Mm-hmm. What y'all fake mad about today? Because that's important to me. Mm-hmm. But that nigga, yeah, I don't care.
All right. It's been a while since we had a rant, you know. So, mm-hmm. A real nigga rant, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, man, and if y'all disagree, man, like, come in peace. Like, because none of us mean, you know, we not mad.
At all.
So, we can just disagree.
Yeah, like I said last week, have y'all been listening to this podcast for the past 10 years? We disagree all the time, man. All the time. If you notice, progressively, in our disagreements, they get more and more civil. Like, oh yeah, you don't feel that way. Okay, all right. So, yeah, them arguments used to be like fucking 30 minutes. Now I was like, oh yeah, he ain't gonna budge, you know. Let's move on, you know.
Yeah, my motherfucking knees are getting hotter, you know.
Yeah,
don't want to sit here that long. You know, the funniest argument to me we ever had, you know, and I felt it was the most passionate. It was about not being able to afford them shoes, you know. I just remember that, Kenny getting so mad, you know. I be thinking about that shit. I be thinking back, like, what if we disagreed? But I was like, yeah, like, that was pretty heated, you know.
Yeah.
What shoes was it about, you know?
I don't remember, but yeah.
They was like some those Balenciagas, I think.
I just know me and you felt one way, and then Tone was like, "But if they could pay for them, they could afford them." And we were just that don't mean you can afford them. You know? Right. If you just scraping by to get them, that you can't afford to get them, you know?
Right.
And I said that just makes you fiscally irresponsible, but you can't afford a Bugatti. Mm-hmm. But you can buy some shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See? It's that easy, y'all.
No, we still disagree. 30 minutes this time. We still
exactly. We disagree, but it won't be 30 minutes this time, though.
Right.
Kenny, I tell you what I could afford, and I got them today, young. Them Nothing One earbuds, young.
Oh, Ty, you got some?
I finally got through last week. So
they came in the mail. You got them. They came in the mail and all that shit.
Nigga, FedEx dropped them joints off. I was out there the next minute, you know. Right. I was like, nope. So I did a brief test on them, and the bass is real good, you know. Right. Like, so I'm going to get them out here on the track, these runs this weekend, and I'll report back next week. For those who don't know, there are like a new Hype Beast pair of earbuds that are out called the Nothing Ones. Mm-hmm. That are made by like former people from like Google, Apple, or whatever. And yeah, man, $99. And as of right now, the sound, I'm not sure about the call quality and all that other shit, but they're comparable to the AirPod Pros.
Yeah, that's what they were gunning for.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They come in a clear charging case, so it got that fucking cool factor or whatever. And, yeah, man, for $99, you know, these fucking AirPod 3s just came out, which are like the scaled-back version of AirPod Pros, and they're still, what, $189, something like that.
I think $179, yeah.
$179, so, you know, these $99, shit, there was $104 shipped. Yeah, so... Just need a good backup pair because my AirPod Pros have been acting up, but they've been pretty good lately since I took them back to Apple, yeah.
Okay.
So, knock on wood.
Tight, man.
All right. So everybody want their motherfucking treats now. So let's back this up, and we'll be back at you guys more pre-COVID regular time next week. So with that, KB.
Yeah, man. Thanks to everybody listening to the show. As always, appreciate it. Now, you can follow us on Twitter at KBADS. That's KBADDS and at High Five Starter. Any questions, comments, concerns, send them to highfivestarter@gmail.com. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/highfivestarter. And I'll see y'all next week.
All right, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Catch y'all next week. Until then, be good to each other.
All right, the fellas said it. Hot you guys next week. SFS Podcast, we out.